He was the financial whiz kid riding high on crypto success. He could hardly have fallen any further. Sam Bankman-Fried was jailed for 25 years. Prosecutors called him a megalomaniac with a brazen disrespect for the...
Stand with law enforcement. It's something that we have seen, and there you see him heading inside with family and friends as they grieve today.
This site's just about 45 minutes outside New York City in Massapequa Park. It's on Long Island. This is just nearby the hometown of Officer Diller. He was, of course, shot Monday when he pulled over for what he anticipated was going to be some kind of a routine stop to take a look at what was going on with.
Welcome back to Resistance Chicks. We're your hosts, Leah and Michelle. It is Friday, which means we're going to bring you this week's headline news, top stories of everything's been going down, shaking down this week. And oh my gosh, including, have we had a week? There I am hearing myself out of my own cell phone. We had a birthday.
Mm-hmm.
When was Patriot Gallery's birthday?
A couple birthdays.
Patriot Gallery's birthday was what day? Saturday?
The 23rd.
Saturday, mm-hmm. Saturday. And then Matt's birthday was Wednesday. So we had him co-host Revelation Red Pill.
He did a good job.
On his birthday. That's a, like, that's next level sacrifice. Let me do a show.
It was your, on it my was birthday. Your idea. You thought it would be,
well,
you thought it'd be, see, a birthday present.
You know what we normally do? We normally do something called birthday week.
Yeah.
Right? Where we try to do a couple of different fun things. Mm-hmm. And you know what I look forward to on Matt's birthday every year? We've been doing this past couple years.
What?
Bowling.
Oh, yeah. We
once a year,
that.
We go bowling. Really looking forward to that. So we didn't get to go bowling. I think last year we went putt-putting in the cold.
We did. It was kind of chilly, but it was fun.
It was nice.
It was very fun.
It was really fun. What's going on with the collar on that flannel you put on of mine? You know, Sherry's like, oh, it's matching day. That's because I had brought myself down an extra flannel in case I got cold. Then Leah stole it.
Chilly down here.
From
so the- I was like, oh, I think that'll work.
So now we are matchy-matchy because they're Michelle. They're both Michelles. And then that came down in blue as well. So we didn't get a chance to do birthday week. So I'm thinking to myself, what can we do at home? But when, then we also have
so
a show.
So you're going to go on our show.
So what I could have done is you and I could have just done the show and Matt could have sat with Mom watching the show. That's boring. You know, you can watch a show or you can be the show.
Be the show.
Be the show.
You, everybody, be the show you want to be.
So I don't know if Sherry's going to get upset that I show this online. So we just ended our Brighteon segment. Let's see if I can do this without sharing any numbers here. And she said, you guys are talking about the LGBT agenda. She was wearing this shirt. She's wearing it right now. The true meaning of the rainbow. And there's an arc there. You know, oh, you know what other picture, speaking of rainbows, that I should pull up and show everybody. Scott Kesterson.
He got a rainbow today.
Shows up. It was yesterday. Shows up at his property. And gets a double rainbow.
Oh, I didn't see it was a double.
It's a double rainbow. You see it to the one side? Huh. Look at that. Who gets a double rainbow? He like pulls
I
into
hope
that.
He's got a frame. That's a
frameable picture.
Yeah, that's a frameable
right?
picture.
Mm-hmm. So I'm just like, God is speaking rainbows. Sherry's sending that of her shirt. And Scott's got that rainbow. And you know what the rainbow is? It's a sign that God says, I'm never going to destroy all y'all nut jobs again. Mm. That's why they use it as their symbol. Mm. It's like mocking God. Like, no matter what we do, you can't kill us. Ninner, ninner, ninner. Well, you know what? Don't fear the people that can kill the body. Fear the people, the person that can kill the soul. That's a scripture.
Somebody died today.
No.
Louis Gossett Jr.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, it!
So
that was not funny. That's sad. How old was he?
84. But what I was reminded of was in 2021, Lou Gossett Jr. survived COVID with ivermectin. He couldn't even walk. He was in the hospital. He thought it was all over because he was 84 years old. And then he saw, he asked for a doctor to come and get him out. And he got out and he was given ivermectin and he lived.
Yeah, it was an amazing story. Phenomenal. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he walked out of Atlanta hospital sick with COVID. He reached out to the Florida Keys Dr. Bruce Burrows, who would save his life.
Oh, wow. Let me pull this up so that they can see this. Because where'd you click on it with that picture you just clicked on? What'd you click on to get to the picture?
I just put it, scroll down. I don't know. Over here.
Oh, there it is right there.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I don't say this very often about celebrities, but I feel fairly confident that Louis Gossett Jr. met Jesus.
He met Jesus.
Right?
He met Jesus. He was 87, actually.
87?
Wow.
He got
COVID at 84. Yeah.
That's a long life, man.
Yeah, we've all seen movies with him in it and been moved by his performances. So, yeah.
He's one of those actors where you're like, yeah, he's one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm.
You know, real deal. Mm-hmm. Like, every time he does a movie, he's usually some sort of very comforting character. So.
Yeah. All right. Speaking of a character.
Mm-hmm.
All right. This week, this is the biggest story that I think we have this week, is Sam Bankman-Fried has been fried, basically. He's been sentenced to 25 years in prison for fraud. Now, if you don't remember, we covered this, I think, last year heavily. This is why we tell you not to do Bitcoin.
Keep crypto. Bitcoin is a brand.
And crypto in general. The Bitcoin and the crypto universe are so easily manipulated.
Mm-hmm.
Almost, here's the thing. If our federal government can print and manipulate the Federal Reserve, all of these cryptocurrencies are manipulatable. Although 100%. They're not. 100%. No, they're all.
This is my favorite. You don't understand. And please forgive me for making fun of these people, but I have to. I can carry it around on my thumb drive.
Oh my gosh.
So it's real. And they can't get to it because it's mine and it's in my thumb drive.
Well, tell that to the people in Canada who had their crypto stolen by the government. Literally.
I'm just saying.
All right, let's play this Sky News clip and then we'll break it down. Are we screen sharing yet?
We will be.
He was the financial whiz kid right
now. Hang on, let's see what's going on. Here we go.
He could hardly have fallen any further. Sam Bankman-Fried was jailed for 25 years. Prosecutors called him a megalomaniac with a brazen disrespect for the law.
Like I was saying, it's FTX. It's a safe and easy way to get into crypto.
With big money ads.
Yeah, I don't think so.
And big name endorsements.
Definitely not.
His FTX crypto exchange.
No.
Built a $26 billion fortune.
I'm not an expert, and I don't need to be.
It was an exchange where investors bought and sold virtual currency, like Bitcoin. And while the value of crypto soared, so did the company.
In less than 5 years, Sam Bankman-Fried went from buying his first Bitcoin.
But Bankman-Fried used investors' cash as a personal piggy bank.
You could buy Bitcoins in America. You could send them to Japan and sell them for Japanese yen.
With his financial formula, he built property in the Bahamas, endorsed sports stars, and put the company name on the Miami Heat Stadium.
That's a lot of lives to save.
He was the dressed-down celebrity up to 25 on America's rich list, who bought into politics, courting the great and good of the Democratic Party and its like. The empire crashed when the value of crypto plummeted. Bankman-Fried used investor cash to plug gaps in one of his hedge funds, and customers lost $8 billion. He committed one of the biggest frauds in U.S. history, one that raised questions over cryptocurrency itself.
The remarkable thing is that the crypto industry is back at record highs. I mean, Bitcoin is right back to where it was and even higher. But that hasn't really addressed, you know, the fundamental issues around how something like FTX could have happened and how crypto institutions are supervised, whether crypto assets really have fundamental value and how they can be manipulated.
In court, Bankman-Fried said, "My useful life is probably over. For the playboy facing 25 years behind bars, it will be
a life less loving.
He'll get off early.
Okay, like, he'll get off early, and this sentence pales in comparison to the fraudster Bernie Madoff, who received a sentence of 150 years. This guy is going to be out before he's 55 years old, okay, and he's going to have a life to live.
It's a slap on the wrist. People's lives were destroyed because of what he did. And, you know, as I'm thinking about this, like, this is the video game generation. This is the if I die, I get 10 more lives generation. Mm-hmm. This is the money isn't real. Mm-hmm. It's made up. And so it doesn't really matter if I take it from other people. This is generation. This is the generation that has a complete disconnect between investors mm-hmm. and what would be going on in their company. This is when you live in virtual reality, mm-hmm. you do not live in reality.
No,
right?
But he doesn't.
And so that's you in order to accomplish something like this, I do not believe, and I mean this, I do not believe that Sam Bankman-Fried
is
set out to
responsible for this either.
Well, first of all, that, but set out to steal money from people. I don't think that he was so caught up in what he was doing. I don't think he had any idea.
Buttons.
I think he was just completely clueless. Now, at some point, I think he began to realize, oh my gosh, right? But I mean, so when I say I don't think he set out to steal from people, I don't think he set out to do it, but at some point he clearly woke up to that's what I have done. Mm-hmm. And then at that point, you need to be like a little kid that shows up at the police and goes, I had no idea what I was doing. Help me. Because mm-hmm. I just defrauded these people and you know what I'm saying? So he didn't do that. So then mm-hmm. at that point, you do become mm-hmm. the malevolent mastermind because then, and this is true, you can watch this in the story, then he started to move the pieces to cover up the crime, to try to keep the house of cards afloat.
Yeah.
To me, that's where he became the monster.
Yeah, we're going to do a deep dive into this story, Judge, but let's go over the sentencing here. Judge Lewis Kaplan, who sentenced Bankman-Fried, said that the SBF committed witness tampering before he was remanded into custody when he communicated with former FTX general counsel. Kaplan also found that he committed perjury during his trial testimony. He reportedly falsely testified that he had no knowledge that Almeida Research, FTX sister company and hedge fund, had spent FTX consumer deposits before the fall of 2022. Kaplan also said that Bankman-Fried wanted to be a hugely political, influential person in this country. I don't necessarily think that it was all him. I think his parents had a lot to play in this and other people around him.
Did you see that led the to picture his of his parents?
Crimes. Yeah, there. I think they pulled a lot of his strings. The 25-year sentence pales in comparison to the potential 100 years he was facing based on his crimes, perjury, and witness tampering. He got a slap on the wrist. He had people pulling strings for him. I'm telling you. Prosecutor Nicholas Rue said of Sam Bankman-Fried stole over $8 billion in consumer money. You know that they are throwing people in jail for just being at the Capitol for like 12, 15 years. This guy steals $8 billion, perjures himself, lies, commits the greatest fraud known to mankind in history and in American history, and he's getting 25 years. Yeah. This is insane. And I emphasize stole because it's not a liquidity crisis or an active mismanagement or poor oversight at the top. It's not a bloodless financial loss on paper. Bankman-Fried's attorney, Mark Mukasey, told the court on Thursday, Sam was not a ruthless financial serial killer who set out every morning to hurt people. His real motivations were misapprehended and misunderstood. Really, he's an awkward math nerd. He loves video games and veganism. He's compassionate to animals. A lot of people feel really let down, and they were very let down, and I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry about what happened at every stage. He says he's sorry. Mm-hmm. That's the I'm sorry generation. Just say you're sorry. $8 billion. Ahead of the Bankman-Fried sentencing, current FTX CEO John Wray issued a scathing rebuke of Bankman-Fried, saying that the former FTX CEO made callously and demonstrably false claims.
So wait a minute. Did the company still exist?
That whole company needs to be shut down. It's shut down. It is so... Can you imagine the vultures to take over that company?
Like Sinclair Oil no longer exists anymore, to my knowledge. Like mm-hmm. some things just go the way of the dinosaur. No pun mm-hmm. intended for anybody that knows Sinclair. But like seriously, like you go the way of the dinosaur. You have done something wrong. You don't exist anymore.
He actually, they declined to prosecute Bankman-Fried for his allegedly unlawful political donations using consumer funds for his bribery of foreign officials. We're not going to go there. That was where he got off, really. These political donations, you know the Clintons, you know these people, you know the Democrats. He gave millions of dollars. He spent $100 million on stolen consumer funds to donate to Democrats. $100 million. Only Michael Bloomberg gave more money to the Democrats. This is where we're at right now. The trial against Bankman-Fried yielded many startling revelations. This includes SBF, that's what they call him, claimed to be soulless when writing a list of pros and cons about being in a relationship with Caroline Ellison, in and off girlfriend, the head of Almeida. Lawyers for Bankman-Fried claimed he was simply a math nerd and didn't steal from anyone. The co-founder, Gary Wang, spilled his guts on the company's fraud. Bribery and Thai prostitutes were used as bargaining chips to unlock $1 billion of frozen funds on the digital currency exchanges. Really? Bankman-Fried needed Adderall to meaningfully participate in the trial. Mm-hmm. Bankman-Fried ignored employee concerns about extravagant spending, including a $30 million penthouse in the Bahamas that served as the company's headquarters. Bankman-Fried only, quote, skimmed the company's terms of service.
Skimmed.
Bankman-Fried was, quote, foolish to stand as witness during the trial. Lawyers for Bankman-Fried decried his conditions in jail, including his lack of vegan meals.
I thought you were going to say, like, skimmed off the top. That's why I made that motion. He only skimmed the company's what?
Only skimmed off the top, I guess.
But it looked like it was...
Let me just... I just closed out the article.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fine.
After a jury in 2023 found him guilty on 7 counts, the federal judge in New York sentenced Bankman-Fried on Thursday to 25 years,
leading the fraudulent 25.
Scheme. Before it all came crashing down, the native Californian had amassed a fortune at one point estimated worth $26 billion. Save for Mark Zuckerberg, no one in history has ever gotten so rich so young. In the span of a few months, the MIT technology graduate with a degree in physics had taken the startup he co-founded in 2019 and built it up into the world's second largest crypto exchange platform. He quickly became more than just a young entrepreneur, fashioning himself as an ambassador of crypto and making his first appearance in Congress in December 2021.
If you don't hold it,
you don't own it. The son of two Stanford University professors, Bankman-Fried ventured outside of the world of cryptocurrencies, making donations to U.S. politicians. He wasn't doing this. He's not that smart. He's not that savvy.
Well, he is an MIT graduate, but I think the standards have lowered since, you know.
He is not savvy enough to have relationships with Tom Brady and professional basketball player Stephen Curry to get them to pitch. He had people pulling the strings behind the scene. He was just the face of all this stuff, okay? The young man, known as FBS, would charm U.S. lawmakers with his straight talk and vision of crypto's future. He believed in the concept of effective altruism, finding the best way to help other people. That's the lie that he put forward. But behind his reassurances, Bankman-Fried was walking a financial high wire. Without their knowledge, Bankman-Fried's team, his team.
That there was way, a whole I wish we team had of videos of the team, though. Hang on. His surface team, like that one really backwards girl. And had like a couple of friends. And I'm thinking to myself, are you kidding me?
He had a bunch of kids who were running this thing with him.
Children.
And here's the thing. They all turned on him and testified against him. Okay.
And even with those testimonies, he still only got 25 years.
Their team used the money of FTX customers to cover risky operations by an affiliated trading company called Almeida Research, as well as to buy posh real estate and make political donations. In November 2022, crypto news outlet CoinDesk revealed that Almeida had converted a large part of its assets to FTT, a crypto token created by FTX. The news caused the currency to plummet. Hours later, Changpeng Zhao, the head of Binance, the world's largest crypto exchange platform, announced it was selling all of the FTT tokens it held, causing it to lose 90% of its value in a matter of days and taking the Bankman-Fried empire with it. His fortune having vanished overnight, Bankman-Fried was extradited from the Bahamas, where FTX had its headquarters, and indicted on charges of fraud. After a five-week trial, the jury quickly reached a verdict on all 7 counts with the potential of 110 years.
That's what he should have gotten.
Yes. So let's play. I've got a few of these clips over here. other people talking about it. Let's see here.
I'm flabbergasted at anyone actually thinking that this 25-year sentence is
Bankman-Fried laundered $40 million to fund Democrat campaigns. NGOs laundered $1 billion to fund Joe Biden's border crisis. FBS has finally been held accountable. Now NGOs need to be held accountable. That's a, something deeply unsettling about FBF. SBF parents, frightening even. You get the feeling that, as clinched as it might be, these people who hold themselves as member of a higher caste, to whom the rules and mores of governing the proletariat simply do not apply, people who earnestly believe that their academic credentials convey intellectual power, which implies moral superiority, which endows cultural authority, and which should translate to political privilege. People like this view themselves as transcendent figures. They are the cognitive Brahmins of the world, whose machinations are beyond the comprehension of those of us outside the cognitive elite. The rest of us are simply the untouchable on the sides of the roads winding toward their ivory towers. We are not to question their ends nor their means, which they pursue them. By which they, and it's why Sam's mother writes at length about his adoption of utilitarianism as something that should be a mitigating factor in his sentencing, rather than exploring whether it played a role in her son's felonious behavior. It's why she alludes to young son's young Sam's consumption of literature from, quote, well-known academic philosopher Derek Parfit, but doesn't speak of the harm that her son did. Reading the letter, it becomes
apparent. Was it unilateralism? I don't even have heard that. Utilitarianism. I don't even know what that is.
Yeah. Reading the letter, it becomes apparent that Sam's deserved credit for adopting a vegan diet that spares the lives of animals. But Sam does not bear guilt, nor need to atone for ruining the lives of actual humans, because the humans he harmed simply aren't as worthy as the likes of the Bankman Frieds or the guests attending their academic dinner parties. The more I see of these people, the less I believe that SBF was simply a hapless nerd who got caught up in poor business decisions, and more I'm viewing him as a lifelong sociopath raised from birth to believe that high SAT scores and prestigious diplomas grant immunity from consequences in life. And the angrier I become. This is why people say they would rather be governed by random people in the phone book than by any member of the Ivy elite faculties.
So, Leah, do you remember? I don't, and I forgive me for not remembering the details. I only have this vague memory of the fact that, are you going to talk about his parents?
I mean,
wait a minute before I come off of this picture, which you can see very clearly where he gets his good looks from, his mom. They were financiers as well in the financial, like, heavily. Much so that you could, that they were the brains. And I don't remember the details of it. And I remember when we were first covering this, it was like all but understood that that it was pretty much his parents that were likely to be pulling the strings on all of this.
Yeah, this Zero Hedge article back here from September. Sam Bankman-Fried's parents steeped in Democrat dark money and illegal election tactics. So the parents of alleged Sam Bankman-Fried were involved in Democrat dark money and the 2020 election tactics deemed illegal by right-leaning political research firm. Alan Joseph Bankman and his wife, Barbara Fried, who are currently being sued to claw back some of the portion of the $26 million into fraudulently transferred and misappropriated funds, have found themselves in the middle of this controversy. In a lawsuit seeking the clawback, the pair were accused of siphoning off millions in firm funds to benefit their pet causes, with Bankman, who says he helped FTX navigate tax issues, allegedly considered having funds made available by Sam through Arabella, one of the largest dark money advisory groups in the U.S., whose board Bankman sat on, according to court documents, his dad.
Wow, yeah.
This meant that Bankman, the dad, had unfettered access to the FTX group's financial and corporate structure, two things that would have alerted him that money was moving between and among the FTX exchanges. Bankman's advisory role was revealed in a footnote in the lawsuit. Arabella manages major left-wing nonprofit groups, which then sponsor entities that pay no tax. The company has come under heightened scrutiny from conservatives over the dark money arrangement. Quote, unquote, quote from somebody here on Twitter. Bro, the story is that Sam Bankman-Fried's dad was on the board of left-wing dark money behemoth Arabella Advisors, and your mad conservatives are calling them out. The lawsuit, which seeks to claw back funds Bankman and Fried allegedly fraudulently transferred and misappropriated, cites the New Venture Fund, which offered a platform through which FTX US and its donors could contribute and select charitable causes. Lawyers from Bankman and Fried, the parents, hit back.
That's it. That's kind of, I mean, we don't have to go into huge detail on it.
Barbara Fried authored a memo in late 2019 that encouraged Democrats to donate to a 501c3 known as Voter Registration Project or Everybody Votes. The Stanford professor argued that getting more Democrats registered to vote is far more effective than simply donating to candidates and encouraged donors to give 90% of their election contributions to Everybody Votes. Since charities and foundations don't reveal donations until the year after the fact, they are specifically forbidden from operating to benefit a political party. Fried also told people to keep quiet about the strategy. Over here in this article, FTX sues Bankman-Fried's law professor parents to recover fraudulently transferred and misappropriated funds. I believe from one of the articles that I had read was that his dad was supposedly an ethics professor.
Oh, no way.
And supposedly he should have been able to catch on it, right? It says that the also FBF's lawyer says the FTX co-founder was the worst witness ever. Stanford law professor David Mills, who led Sam Bankman-Fried's criminal defense trial, says the FTX co-founder went off the rails when he took the stand. He may be at the very top of the list as worst persons I've ever seen do a cross-examination. The 76-year-old Mills said that while the verdict was inevitable, SBF refused to adopt a key strategy in the face of his co-founders throwing him under the bus. I thought it was almost impossible to win a case when three or four founders are saying you did it. Even if they're all lying through their teeth, it's really, really hard to win a case like that. Mills said that if he had his way, SBF would have admitted to everything the witnesses and prosecution said and then focused on convincing the jury that it was all part of a good faith effort to save FTX. That's not how Sam remembers things, to put it kindly. I thought there was really a good story there, but he can't tell the story that all these people are lying. You got five people who say one thing, one person says another thing, well, you've got no shot. So this is what I'm trying to say. They're all lying.
Mm-hmm.
These five people should all be in jail. But what the prosecutors did is they like to pick off the top. Mm-hmm. They made deals. This kid is going to get the 25-year sentence.
Yep.
He'll get off on good time. He'll be his little vegan special self. Mm-hmm. And he'll get out. And this company can continue. Because there were so many names behind this company. You had Tom Brady. You had Gazelle the model. You had so many people. You had Bill Clinton on stage with him. Michael Bloomberg. You had that one guy who goes around doing all the stuff for all the stock markets. You know, the loud guy that nobody likes. Okay, you guys can put him in the chat. Kramer or something like that. Everybody was with this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Their whole reputations are on the line with this.
Yeah.
So they have to, what they're going to do is, it's just like kind of like in World War II, we're going to make Hitler the fall guy. And everybody else underneath, like, this war happened because of one guy. One guy ran all the machine guns. One guy ran all the airplanes.
Yeah,
one guy ran all the gas ovens. It was just Hitler and he made everybody do it. No, there was a whole organized group of people, working machine. Specifically, you've got IG Farben. This company created the gas that gassed the Jews, and they were happy to do it. And they wanted to do it. And they only got 5 or 6 years in prison and went back out and created a company called Bayer, and we all take their stupid aspirin.
And many other things.
Which kills people. They say aspirin's healthy. No, it's not really. It's not a good. So that's what I'm saying with SBF.
Yeah.
I'm smelling something way deeper than this. This he is just a math nerd. He is an ignorant guy. He is one of these people who is easily manipulated and easily twisted. And his parents were the political activists. Don't tell me that he made $100 million in donations on his own.
No way.
His parents raised their child. It's like those Asian parents, right? You are going to provide for me.
You will be a piano player, pianist. You'll be a flutist. You'll be something.
They raised him. They raised him. They had him do the whole thing. And then they were pooling the money.
Cash in.
They were pooling the money from this company. They were running. I've seen it. You guys have seen it. Look at the Kardashians. Mm. Don't tell me. Look at, like, Britney Spears. Look at Miley Cyrus. All these parents are in to make bank off their kids.
Yeah.
And these parents were not only just making money, but they were moving political strings. They were happy to be there. They were happy to be there with the Bill Clintons and moving and shaking and be in the know with all these people. Okay? And making all the... If you've got money, you can be friends with anybody.
That is unfortunately true.
Okay? It's just like we're going to talk about with the celebrity... Think about it. Like $100 million. They're making a big deal out of the largest fundraiser for any candidate ever is $26 million they raised for Joe Biden with all the celebrity. They had Queen Latifah and...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they had... Stephen Colbert was running his mouth
off.
Sounds
like money laundering to me.
It absolutely does.
All right, you want me to play this last video on this?
And you've got Alameda Research, who... I heard this funny story. Someone told me that... The name Alameda Research is because you needed a bank license, and research is like the most safe thing that you can get.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Like, we knew banks were going to shut us down. Because
Sam from Alameda was mentioned as he was referring to the fact that Giancarlo is extremely, extremely available.
You know, we've had banking hiccups in the past.
This is really low audio. I'm sorry, guys.
We've always been able to route around it or deal with it. Open up new accounts or what have you, shift to a different corporate entity. There have been lots of sort of cat and mouse tricks that everybody in the Bitcoin industry has to avail themselves of.
Getting some breaking news on the wires here regarding crypto. Tether executives reportedly facing a criminal probe into top bank fraud. The DOJ is reportedly looking into whether Tether misled banks about its crypto business. CNBC has reached out to Tether.
Which is what's been a problem for us in opening up additional accounts and new entities and stuff like that.
In different countries.
Tonight, companies behind the most widely traded digital token, Tether, are coming under fire tonight after reports they used falsified documents and shell companies to get bank accounts.
Just like with regular banking in Bitcoin world as it is, sometimes those accounts get shut down because, you know, the correspondent banks figure out, oh, this is Bitcoin related.
Well, their video is going in and out. Didn't you hear that?
Yeah, but I don't know if it's just their video. That's the problem, because every once in a while, Scott's Roadcaster does this on his show, and I'm worried that it's not so much the video as much as it is my system.
Okay,
that's what I'm
Sam Bankman-Fried and all these Bitcoin guys.
Sam Bankman-Fraud.
Okay, they're all, I'm telling you, Bitcoin is all just one big fraud. Mm. All of it. Everything. The cryptocurrencies, they're made up. They're nothing. They don't exist. Let me tell you. They do not exist. They are making it up. And they're fraudulent. Every single one of them is fraudulent. They're all fraudulent. It's worse than the fiat dollar. If the fiat dollar is on a scale of 1 to 10, 10, this is 100.
Okay. I'm with you.
SBF deserves to go to prison, but so did John Corzine when he bankrupted MF Global and took $1.2 billion from customer accounts. Instead, the former Democratic senator and governor of New Jersey got away with $5 million fine, and he ran a hedge fund. Because if you're in finance and you do a finance scheme, nobody cares. The big takeaway from Sam Bankman-Fried debacle is when a guy tells you that he is only making money to give it away from a $40 million penthouse in a tax-haven country, that might be a clue he's not on the up and up. I'm just making money to give it away. He literally said that. I'm just making money to give away. He's in a $40 million penthouse in a tax haven country.
Yeah.
He's lying. They're all lying. His parents visited them and wanted the Bahama thing too. Okay. Yeah, I'm sure they were the ones who helped buy it, help him pick it out. Yes, FBF was locked up for two and a half decades. I suppose that's good, though it's only 28 days after $1 million he stole. But guess what went unaddressed? That's right. The corporation aspects of his enterprise. Not so shockingly, the DOJ dropped the campaign finance violation and bribery charges against FBF because it's in the public interest to have a speedy resolution to the trial. The DOJ dropped this because Biden administration said this kid and this family protect them.
Amen.
They got that speedy trial resolution and cover up the swamp corruption granted by it. Who else thinks the public... would be better served by exposing the swamp's corruption. So you've got this vegan man, taxpayer, and
oblivious investor,
fund and money laundering and out come the campaign funds on the other side.
Yeah. Wow.
And I've got one more. I don't know. I think I had a thread of somebody. Let's see if I got it. Who was sitting in the trial and he used to like Bankman-Fried. And he followed him and he'd even talked to them a couple times. Here we go. John Wang. I think it might be over to the left. I'm not sure where it is. I attended the SBF trial. It was one of the most mind-blowing experiences of my life. Seeing him get a 25-year sentence today is surreal, as it felt sitting right behind him in that courtroom. Here's his story. On crypto Twitter, SBF was larger than life. I first texted him as a freshman research assistant in 2020 when FTX was getting started. He inspired me to join Solana ecosystem in early 2021. Soon Sam was the youngest billionaire in the world. But sitting in the front row, all I saw before me was a meek, clenched, pale man, smaller in stature than I had expected. We briefly made eye contact before his eyes darted away and he lowered his head. They only let 20 people in and he arrived early and he sat behind and his parents were speaking to a New York Times journalist. The Trump case was happening simultaneously in the neighboring building.
Oh my
there gosh. Were Secret Service agents, steel fencing, and black vans crawling the area. The courtroom was much smaller than I imagined. I exchanged hellos with his parents, and he sat down. His lawyer pleaded with the judge for Adderall. The judge replied, "I can't be having lawyers coming in and feeding drugs to people on trial."
Oh, my gosh. Stirring up
laughter among the journalists and furious head shaking from SBF's mom. Today, a huge witness testified, Nishad Singh, third largest FTX shareholder and director of ENG. He had signed a plea bargain with the FBI. He blinked tears. "I participated in money laundering, defrauded customers, and doctored financials to investors." See, he didn't do this on his own, okay? I don't even think he did the paperwork to make all this stuff happen.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Okay? "I've always been intimidated," he says, "by Sam. He has physical twitches when he gets angry, grinding his fingers and closing his eyes and grinding his teeth or his tongue in his mouth. I was suicidal." SBF parents squinted their eyes, pursed their lips, and coughed in protest. The jury looked like NPCs randomly picked off the street, a bunch of white people, older people. It was insane to see the face that once covered magazine front pages and billboards in Times Square reduced to the butt of a joke. Outside the floor-to-ceiling window was a bright blue sky dotted with soft clouds. The contrast was weird. It says that the prosecution leaked FBF.
You keep saying FBF.
Whatever.
SBF. Just say Sam. His name is Sam.
Okay. I just reading it. So I'm know. Reading it.
Just say Sam.
Okay. Leaked Sam's diary entry recounting. Michelle's a really nice person.
That's what I meant to say.
The prosecution leaked Sam's diary entry recounting a post-Super Bowl party with Hillary Clinton, Kendall Jenner, Katy Perry, Leonardo DiCaprio, and Bezos. $1 billion in sponsorships.
Oh my God.
The $30 million penthouse. Jurors chuckled at the opulence. And there's a picture.
And I can guarantee them. You that
Do
those...
Do you want to show them this picture?
Yes. I can guarantee you that those celebrities were literally going, "This guy's a big nerd," mm-hmm. but it's all about the money. And so here we are.
He was paying them to be his friend. What do you think endorsements are?
It works.
Okay. "Sure, I'll take your money. Sure, you can hang out with us. Give us your money. We're happy to have your money." Right? Going in that day, I hope.
Isn't that what's her name?
I don't know who.
Okay.
Going in that day, I'd hope to give Sam some benefit of the doubt, attributing negligence over malice. But that faded away quickly. Why? Sam had singular control over FTX Almeida's mixing of the funds. He was the only executive with vested interest in both. Almeida had $65 billion in credit line. Here's the thing. He had a company. He gave his other company a $65 billion credit line from the one company, creating a $10 billion deficit in customer funds. The, quote, "allow negative backdoor erode" was already enabled since July of 2019. Sam was still spending hundreds of million right before the collapse.
Mm.
He made a big deal with Telegram. Sam deliberately inflated revenues, defrauding investors by transferring SRM between entities. Sam went to the Middle East with Scaramucci, Trump's chief of staff, to raise money after they knew FTX was underwater. FTX used straw donors for his political donating. Nishad said, "You are FTX left face. Give to a lot of woke blank." Sam didn't code, but designed the technical and financial infrastructure for FTS. Overall, massive fraud, no sense of bank accounts, employees, cash on hand, liquidity management, digital asset custody, cybersecurity practices, or any form of corporate control or governance. I departed the courtroom feeling empty, trying to process the gravity of what I experienced. Crypto has very real and colossal consequences. Judge Kaplan had also adjudicated other cases. Seeing the jury maybe realize how far we have to go in educating and onboarding normal human beings. He still is in, this guy's still in the Bitcoin world. Okay, so thoughts on this, Michelle?
On the one hand, it's amazing to me that this kind of money can still buy your freedom. That's what I mean. Mm-hmm. 25 years for something like this, and especially when he gets off with parole for good mm-hmm. behavior and all that, that, you know, they do 15 years, 10 years, something mm-hmm. like that, that he'll actually serve.
Mm-hmm.
And it was clear that money bought this
mm-hmm.
freedom. And I guess I understand that power buys it,
mm-hmm.
but I kind of thought we were beyond the money thing. And I think clearly that this is a cover up on colossal measures. When you look at that cartoon that we played or shared a second ago of Sam Bankman-Fried and the political donations and the investors and their money going into a laundry machine, and then out on the other side comes these political, you know, donations and Ukraine and all this, that, and the other. I think that there is so much more to this and so many more people involved that he had to take some sort of something or else people would keep digging. And I hope that they do.
Mm.
I hope that people keep digging into this because, you know, you talked about Sean Combs early this week on Revelation Red Pill, and there's so many people implicated in that, you know, TD Jakes and so forth. There needs to be an implication list with Sam Bankman-Fried and FTX.
There's more to this. Get this.
What did I just say? There's got to be more.
So Jay Bhattacharya says that there is a pandemic link to this. Sam bankrolled the COVIDian pandemic quote-unquote preparedness industry at Stanford. Wow. In exchange, a medical school dream wrote a letter to the judge asking for clemency. So the effective altruist Bankman Fried defrauded countless people to the tune of billions. He gave $500,000 to Michelle Berry, a senior associate dean at Stanford, to research pandemic prevention.
And Berry advocated for lockdown. At one point in 2020, she promoted the witch hunt of Dr. Scott Atlas while he was advising the White House on the COVID policy, culminating in a tedious letter signed by a 100 Stanford medical faculty that implied falsely that Dr. Atlas opposed hand washing.
This was written, this letter for clemency was written on Stanford letterhead, Berry wow. asking the court to be lenient on his passionate and idealistic young man that gave her money.
Oh my gosh.
This is where money gets you. This is where money gets you. There are so many. Oh my gosh. They're just, you guys, we could probably spend all day finding ties to everything. Like this was.
And I don't know about you guys, but we do personally know somebody that lost a lot
mm-hmm.
from this.
His whole
and
life.
It devastated everything. Lost his business.
It's connected. Well, we're actually affected by it.
Let's not get into it.
I know.
But and not affected by it, but affected by losing his business.
Yeah.
So it's real. This affected so many people. Now, one can argue that you shouldn't invest in something that you should. Here's the deal. You shouldn't invest money that you can't afford to take a match to. That's number one. Like, that's literally number one. But when you put your whole kind of life savings behind it, like so many people did, guys, you might as well go to Vegas and just roll the dice. Right? Because and that's one of the reasons why I hate crypto, because you have to be convinced into crypto. But when it comes to gold and silver, we all know from the time we're children that if you find a treasure chest with gold and silver in it, you're rich. You don't have to be convinced of that. But you do have to be convinced of Bitcoin, of cryptocurrencies. And it's very confusing. It has to be explained. Gold and silver don't have to be explained. Getting out of the fiat dollar into real money does need to be explained. But gold and silver don't need to be explained, which is why I want you to call ITM Trading.
Do you have the thing up or no?
I do. Call ITM Trading.
It's a free call.
It is a free call. Here, we'll raise it up. That's the problem here. That it's just, there we go. 1-866-950-7776. If you call them, they will walk you through every aspect of all of the things that you're questioning.
And if you hold it, this is SD Bouillon, then you own it.
Yes.
You own it.
But if you, and don't tell me, oh, I got a thumb drive in my pocket. Guys, you don't. And I will say this, and this isn't fear-mongering, because you need to be getting into gold and silver and transferring your fake fiat dollars into real money anyway.
Yeah.
But I don't know what's coming, but I know that it's already happened. We just aren't feeling it yet. And what I mean by that is it is a house of cards, and there is an illusion causing you to have faith in that fiat dollar.
Did you know we are $1 trillion in debt now every 100 days?
Oh, my gosh.
Fiscal collapse accelerates as Treasury issues $7 trillion of debt in just 3 months.
Oh, my gosh.
3 months. This message matches it's the worst hemorrhaging. COVID. No pandemic needed, and it's double the previous record that stood for 231 years.
Oh, my gosh. Let's listen to this here.
In case you thought anybody in Washington was driving this thing, they are not.
Nobody's driving.
Official, the Department of Treasury is now issuing debt at pandemic levels. That was twice the previous record, and here we are again. In raw numbers, latest figures for Q4 2023 show Treasury issued $7 trillion in new debt in just 3 months.
What?
For the entire year, it came to $23 trillion. That has bloated the Treasury market. It's now up 60% since the pandemic. In other words, one third of outstanding U.S. debt has fresh ink on it.
Wow.
It's also up roughly sixfold since the 2008 crisis, meaning if we hit another crash, it could be a lot bigger. At this point, federal debt is rising by $1
trillion. A trillion every 90 days.
And U.S. government spending as a percent of GDP is at World War II levels. Given we are not in a world war, at least in theory, nor are we in a pandemic, why so much debt? Easy, it is buying growth. As Balaji Srinivasan puts it, the economy isn't real. It's propped up by debt. They will fake it till they break it.
Mm.
Even the Wall Street Journal, who loves debt, is sounding the alarm, writing that rapid growth in debt often ends badly. And given the enormous size and alleged safety of U.S. debt, any, quote, instability could be catastrophic. Why catastrophic? Because U.S. treasuries are treated like cash by everything from banks to pension funds to large corporations and individual 401ks. A treasury is essentially seen as cash that pays interest. This is false, of course. A treasury is actually a promise from Uncle Sam to pay you back someday, perhaps 20 or 30 years in the future. That means that unlike cash, any concerns that investors might have about Uncle Sam's ability or willingness to pay can crash treasuries. Now, if that happens, it immediately sends the entire banking system, the pension system, and hundreds of corporations into default. Indeed, it could break the payments plumbing that underpins the entire financial system, meaning you wouldn't be able to get money. Not your salary, not your mortgage, not your groceries. If that all sounds dire, recall that all of these are sustained by the gossamer-thin belief that Uncle Sam will pay back every last penny with interest. This is curious given that neither voters, who in theory run the country, nor Congress, who actually does run the country, seem to think the debt is real. You can actually try this at home. Tell a voter that student loan bailouts will cost $1 trillion, meaning $10 grand out of their pocket, or that another war will cost $30 grand out of their pocket. Most don't care because it's not real. So the voters don't think it's real. Congress doesn't think it's real. But literally everything depends on the illusion that every penny of federal debt will be repaid in full with interest. What could go wrong? So what is next? Brought to you by Unchained.com. Every fiscal trend is in the wrong direction. We're already at $2 trillion deficit. It will soar by yet more trillions when recession hits. And it will keep churning with Social Security and Medicare both growing and spending on everything from illegal immigrants to fresh wars. At this point, there is nothing standing between us and fiscal collapse. There is no countervailing force. The only question is when. Check out the whole
article. So, Michelle, bring up my Twitter. Don't close this down. I'm going to go over here. Can I take this? Thanks.
Yep, you may have it.
Actually, yeah. Okay, so we're going to go over here. This is craziness. Guys, I know you're like, hey, Leah, Michelle, why are you focused so much on finances? Okay, you feel like you're like the finance show now. Okay, because it's crashing. And guess what? We've been telling you that it's been crashing for years. And it's like crashing and this, crashing and this, crashing, crash, 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 crashing. And you just want to tell people, and everything about what we're doing is to warn and to not make you afraid, but to get you prepared. And there's a difference. You've got to be mentally prepared. You've got to be spiritually prepared. You've got to be physically prepared. You've got to be able to say, you know what? If I could kill an animal, you know what? I could grow some food. You know what? I can do something here. Because guess what? They want to take your stuff. They want to take your stuff. Watch this. Look at this. Look at this. Lynette's not crazy. We're not crazy. They count your stuff as backing up their money. Do you understand this? Watch this. Okay, first the debt didn't matter. Now it still doesn't matter because the state can take all your assets to pay for it. Okay, here's a graph here. Below, okay, here's this graph. Financial accounts in the United States. Okay,
there we go.
Assets and liability. Okay, net worth, trillions of dollars. They're counting your assets as their assets. Below is the same graph with titles and labels. See how it says balance sheet of households and nonprofit organizations so that $177 trillion number isn't really about government assets. It's about everything every American household, nonprofit, hedge fund, and personal trust owns. That's why they're saying don't worry, okay? And now getting down to the brass tacks. See, Keynesianism is like communism in that it sees no real difference between household and government assets. There is no moral limit. That's why the book I've got, The Great Taking, which everybody should read, is about taking your stuff. Okay? There is no moral limit in how much they can take from the population via inflation and seizure, only practical limits. So your household assets can and will be taken to pay for what in this failed state owes. And how much does it owe? Well, for that, we can go to a recent analysis of the February 2024 financial report of the United States government. And here's the table where the U.S. government itself admits that even $37 trillion is an underestimate of the debt, which includes social insurance of Social Security and Medicare is another $78 trillion line here. You can see it right here, okay? But wait, there's more.
You could make those graphs big. That would be okay. Helpful.
Later in the doc, well, you guys can, I tweeted this out. You can see it on Twitter, on my little tiny Twitter. Later in the doc, Treasury itself admits even this is a sharp underestimate of what the U.S. owes in terms of Social Security and Medicare because it's not accounting for future payouts decades from now. Once it does, what does the number get to? Here's the direct quote from them. The total sum is $175.3 trillion. This need can be satisfied only through increased borrowing, higher taxes, reduced program spending, and some combination. Okay? Okay? That $175 trillion lines up with the $200 trillion number that this other guy has been using in liabilities and the U.S. government when you take everything into account. Of course, at this point, we are in monopoly money territory because the entire FedGov only collected $1.8 trillion last year in taxes. That's what I was trying to talk about with Scott. Scott was like, they use your money, they use your tax money to do all this stuff. And what we were saying was, yes, kind of, but not really. Not really. It's mostly made up funny money. If you're collecting if you're collecting $2 trillion and you're spending $23 trillion, you're not using people's taxes to pay for things, are you? No. The number itself, juiced by deficit spending, the dollar is down 25% in real terms since 2020. That's inflation. That's what we are all suffering with. And the $177 trillion in asset plummets if liquidated.
Asset value plummets. So if you actually liquidate these assets that they're talking about, that number of $177 trillion plummets because it's not real
value. You can't sell your stocks on the market. So no, the U.S. government doesn't nearly have enough to pay for what it owes. It made promises to everyone, from allies to retirees, and it simply can't keep up. To hang on to power admits that web of broken obligations, it is going to get nasty on a level beyond most cannot comprehend. I appreciate, however, that we are starting to have a glimpse of the end game. When a bankrupt state collapses, it's like a black hole. It sucks everything in it. It's a gaping, big, giant hole, guys. Everything it can possibly seize will be seized. Everything it can possibly print will be printed. All your assets will become their assets. And it will take all. It is a black hole. It is sucking us all in. But Leo, where's Jesus? Where's God? Where's your power, God? When you dance with the devil pays and asks for his due. But I didn't ask for this. No, you didn't. But we haven't stopped it. And our grandparents didn't stop it. And our parents didn't stop it. And we right now are fighting wars over in Gaza, over in Ukraine. I heard somebody say, well, it hasn't fallen yet. How do you know it's going to fall? Well, it seems like we're doing a good job. Well, guess what? There are countries around the world that don't have the ability to fake print fiat dollars. So their people are suffering. They are. You've got people mining cobalt in Africa, dying in mines for the Teslas out there. And everybody's like, oh, Elon is a sociopath. He doesn't care about his cars. He literally thinks that those self-driving cars that randomly wreck themselves and kill people are just a path to the future. Now, I ask Holy Spirit.
You need to talk to Holy Spirit right now.
To give us a good show. To get me passionate about something.
Oh, you asked for this?
I said, please don't make it boring.
Well, it's not that.
I don't like to just talk about the news. I want to talk about what the Holy Spirit wants us to talk about, what he wants us to focus on, and he wants us to focus on justice. And yes, it's important that in New York City, the knockout game is knocking out white women, and I know people are upset about that. But guess what? We're all knocked out.
Well, did you
We're
talk about that already?
We're all getting punched in the head.
On Brighty On Without Me? Are you going to get to it? They have no idea what you're talking about.
People are randomly
punching people in New York.
Men are randomly doing a knockout game on white women or other women, and they're just going up and punching them. And I'm not going to play you videos of these people crying because they probably voted in. Rudy Giuliani was the best thing that ever happened in New York. He cleaned up those streets. New York was one of the safest cities in the entire country. And that man did our country a great service by going around and exposing election fraud. And all you can picture of him is his little hair dye going down his face like this. And then they have ruined him, bankrupt him, and sued him unto oblivion. And who's the other guy? I just was watching this on Stephen Bannon. The other lawyer. Oh, gosh. The other lawyer who put forth the possibility that Trump could do with the blah, 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 the electors.
Peter Navarro?
No, he's not a lawyer.
I know, but I'm trying to think of who else we're talking about.
I know his name. You guys know his name. Put it in the chat. It literally is on the tip of my tongue every time I think I say it, because I heard it like 10 times yesterday. Eastman. He's a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
He has a legal defense fund. If you feel like donating, you can. John Eastman. They are now trying to disbar him in California.
Mm.
When in Colorado, the Supreme for putting forth a legitimate political theory, they want to disbar him. When in Colorado, the Supreme Court 9-0 overturned their political theory that you could knock somebody, a presidential candidate, off a ballot. Are they all, is the whole Supreme Court of Colorado going to be disbarred for their political activism? That was a theory that they knew that even the far left judges said no to?
In the Supreme Court.
That's what I mean. The far left judges in the Supreme Court. Yeah. These are far left judges that said yes to.
Right.
They need to be disbarred. Okay. So this is where we're at right now, guys. And I was up all night praying for my own family, praying for mom. Please continue to pray for mom. She's doing better, but we're still working forward in progress. So please keep her in your prayers.
She was in the greenhouse today planting plants.
She was.
Soaking in the sun, complaining our house is too cold. I was like, Mom, you have permission to turn that furnace on.
You can turn it on. You can turn the heater on, Mom.
It's cold down here right now.
So wait, we're not done yet.
Okay, hang on. Let me take off the ITM trading here.
And you guys, please get gold and silver. Please, 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 please. I'm begging you.
Oh my gosh. Not for my sake, but for your own. I love you too much. Okay. All right. So I want to go back over here because this guy here.
Daniel Penny.
The prosecutor of Daniel Penny was the guy who put the guy on the subway in New York in a chokehold who was going around threatening people and was going to harm people. Now, this guy is going to jail, okay? Where are all the men and why do they not? Are they not standing up and protecting women being punched in the streets in New York City? Because when they do, you prosecute them. Okay. Now, this is kind of interesting. There is an overwhelming wave of grassroots pressure on the conference committee, I believe in Kentucky. This is good news. I have good news. Oh, good news, Leah? Yes. Okay. The gold and silver sales tax exemption is officially included in the House Bill 8 and was passed by both chambers. This bill now goes, unfortunately, to Andy Beshear to get a signature. He's a Democrat. I don't know if he wants to do this or not, but I think he should. Hopefully he will. The bill, Kentucky could become the 45th state to end this tax on money. So I think they've got a veto-proof majority here. End the sales tax on the purchases of gold and silver just passed the Kentucky House by 73 to 12. To end the sales tax on constitutional sound money, which was included in House Bill 8. Shell, you want to talk about that?
I do. People may not be aware, or maybe you are aware.
You shouldn't have to pay tax on money.
So it's unconstitutional. Money. First of all, let's put this into perspective. Okay. I'm pet sitting for some people that have a little kid's kitchen in the basement. When I passed by a little fake Happy Meal and a little fake French fry and a little, all that stuff, right? So let's go with the Happy Meal and the French fries. I know y'all hate McDonald's. It's the best I got. So what this is like is you got a Happy Meal and a French fry, a fake one.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to get you a real one, you've got to pay extra. You can't just exchange a fake French fry and Happy Meal for a real French fry and Happy Meal. Mm-hmm. You got to pay extra fake Happy Meal and French fries to get real Happy Meal and mm-hmm. French fries. So you are taxed fake to get the real. Mm-hmm. So what that should tell you is that the real thing has more value than the fake thing.
Mm, I like the way you put that. I never really thought about it that way, but yeah.
Because you got to pay more of the fake
mm-hmm.
to get the real.
You got to pay more of the fake to get the real, yeah.
Okay? And so you can't ask. There is a reason why most states make it so there is no sale tax on food, right? Because you need it to live and survive. But to say that real constitutional money is something that should be taxed instead of an exchange. Again, the most basic way of understanding it, forget my fake Happy Meal and French fry, is for you to walk into your bank and to try to withdraw $1,000. And then the cashier says, in order for me to give you this $1,000, that's going to cost you an extra $60.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's going to cost you $60 mm-hmm. to withdraw $1,000. And that $60 is going to go to the government for you getting this money. The reason why this is passing, and it's passing in an overwhelming majority, is because I think that some of these people may be being properly advised that constitutionally, real money is real money. And you can't tax people for money. This is the most absurd thing that ever came. I don't know. Here's my question, and I don't know this, and I feel like I should have the answer to this since I'm teaching a constitutional money class at Old School Survival Bootcamp this year, May 17th through 19th. If you need to get your tickets, go to oldschoolsurvivalbootcamp.com and use promo code RCHICKS, and you'll save 35%. Where did this start? The taxation on gold and silver. Because you used to be able to walk into a bank. All right, I'm just going to say this one thing and then I'll be done, I promise.
Okay.
First, you start out with real money in a nation.
Okay.
Then they come and tell you, well,
I got this great idea. It's going to be a lot easier if we have promissory notes mm-hmm. in exchange. But at any time, you can still come and get your gold and silver. But let's just use this paper because mm-hmm. it'll make things a little bit easier. But anytime you want to come in and get it, you can get it because it's yours.
Yeah.
So slowly from that, we evolved to, well, now there is no gold and silver. Now you can't exchange. Now it's just this note. And then you have to pay. Mm-hmm. To get what was rightfully yours out of the bank.
It's crazy.
So that's where I'm just like, how far did it come? So what my question is, I have no idea when taxation on gold and silver started. Hmm. To go from a complete opposite of you used to actually be able to evenly exchange your paper dollar to then now it costs money. I don't know when that started, if anybody else does.
Build back better. Are any of you better off than 4 years ago? We've got the Palestine.
East Palestine. We've got doors flying off of airplanes, and we have the bridge collapse.
Mm. Mm. Okay, so when you sit down to do your taxes, savor the knowledge that most of it is going to interest payments to Wall Street and China. Interest on the debt is now so large, it exceeded 60% of all personal income taxes collected in February. So don't tell me that your taxes pay for anything.
Your taxes pay for interest.
Go to interest.
Your taxes go to interest on money that they have borrowed.
Check this out. A hailstorm takes out all these solar panels.
All the black dots that you see are the solar panels that have been taken out.
Did you already see this?
Yeah.
This is a ridiculous amount of solar panels, by the way. Can you imagine? It's done. It's done for. Acres and acres. All right, I'm going to play this. This is a spoof on these
Are there curse words in this?
Probably.
Watch your children.
These are coins. I'm assuming that I'm looking at this. All of your investments are in coins?
Yeah.
What do they call these? What are they, shit coins?
Shit coins.
Yeah. So you're comfortable having all of your money in shit coins?
Well, I'm very comfortable.
Look at okay.
Me. I'm very comfortable.
So we're going to start. We got Joe Bowden.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not that funny. I mean,
it's pretty good. It's like Biden, right? Like
the, yeah, they just switched the letter. It's not.
Yeah, and it's fucking crushing.
It's not creative.
Sorry about the curse
really
words.
Not that funny.
I'm not judging it by the creativity.
I don't really want to get hung up on Joe Bowden. We'll move on. We got Dog with Hat.
That's Dog with Hat. Yeah, all the Whiff coins are just on a rocket ship. Like to the moon.
That's what they're calling them, Whiff coins?
Whiff coins.
Is there other examples of that or just Dog with Hat?
There's a couple of them. I'd prefer not to say, but let me just tell you, if you got an option to buy Whiff coin, buy Whiff.
I'm not going to buy Whiff coin, but I appreciate the advice. So we'll move on from that.
Okay.
And we got You Sug. Is that like You Suck?
No, no. Actually, that's a long-term investment. You Sug, that one we're keeping forever.
Why is that long-term?
That's You Sell, You Gay. I kind of backed myself into a corner on that one. I will admit that. I didn't really think it through.
So if it wasn't You Sell, You Gay, is it something that you would have sold?
Oh, yeah. Fast. That's doing terrible.
All right. So we're going to sell that.
No,
sure.
We're not going to sell
it. I'm going to sell that one, no. Definitely.
Dude, you seem like you want to sell that, like a little too bad. Do you want to sell it?
Take the glasses off. I can't see you with the glasses on.
The no, thing
off
is,
completely. I don't want to take them all the way off. This is a meeting.
And this is a meeting in church.
We're selling You Sug. We're not holding on to that.
Why do you
want to
sell You Sug so bad?
Because you said it was losing you money.
So what? But if you sell, you're gay.
It seems like you
want to sell it really
I'm
bad.
I'm selling it for you. I don't care about this. I'm selling it.
Really excited to sell that.
This next one I can't even say. You know exactly which one it is. I can't say it. The N-wordless cage.
That one also doing great. So I'm going to keep it.
All right. I guess we'll hold on to that one.
Yeah. Whatever makes money. Like, when other people come in here with their investments, are you breaking down the moral?
No, I've never. But people don't come in with these. People come in with Apple.
Yeah, dude. Twitter. Apple's got suicide nets out there.
No,
you're not like, oh.
No one's ever come into my office with the N-wordless cage. This next one we got. Black people don't recycle? Is that even a real thing?
I don't know, man.
You're just making up new racial stereotypes.
I'm not making them up. I'm investing in new racial stereotypes.
Is that real? Is that a real thing? Black people don't recycle? Because I know black people and they recycle.
I don't know if black people recycle or not. It's just a coin.
It's just funny. It's just, let's make fun of the black people.
Let's make fun of people who don't recycle. Who happen to be black.
We'll hold it if it's making you. You're making a lot of money on black people don't recycle?
I'm making a ton of money.
All right, we'll hold it.
I'm guessing you flipped the page.
See, this is troublesome. Why don't you go ahead and break down JewCoin for me? Nothing funny about that.
What? There's nothing offensive about it either. It's just a coin that mentions Jews.
Okay, then what about, let's go down to the one next to it. What about the one that is, it's just a swastika. That's all it is. It's just a swastika.
You got a better argument there. I'll give you that one.
How did you even enter that in? Because that's not on my keyboard. I don't have a swastika on my keyboard.
I didn't know.
Did you have to go buy a separate keyboard somewhere that had a swastika key on it?
I didn't make it, dude. I didn't.
You had to type it in. You had to type it in to find it.
I just typed in swastika and it popped up.
I'm going to give you two options right now, okay? Because now you crossed a line. See, I was fine with everything else. Now you crossed a line. So I'm going to give you two options. One, you leave right now, you keep all your coins, you walk out of my office.
Well, I'm not losing you, Sug, so fine, I'll leave.
And the second option is you stay, I sell everything.
No, that's...
I sell you, Sug, I sell swastika, sell M-Wordless Cage, I don't give a shit.
We're done. I'll go somewhere else. I'll get the fuck out of here.
I'll sell everything. If you're not out of my office in 10 seconds...
No, do not sell anything.
If you're not out of my office in 10 seconds, I'm selling everything. I'm selling you, Sug, first. USOG is going first.
No, it's not.
Get the hell out of my office now.
But before, do you?
So what this is a spoof on is there are all these fake coins out there, Michelle.
Mm-hmm.
And people think they're funny. Like for the longest time, there was this Dogecoin.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was saying, buy Dogecoin, buy it. It's going to the moon. It's rocketing to the moon. It's all fake. They're all stupid. There's no... Bitcoin has a semblance of respectability because people are using it. But it's all fake. It's all fiat. It's all fake. It's worse than fiat. I'm just trying to tell you. I'm not clicking on your space.
And Leah still is, again, sorry for all the curse words.
I am sorry for all the curse words, but that's what they call them. They call them bad ones.
I get it.
All right. A little bit here with China, another China shock as Chinese factory overcapacity is dumped in America. The last time this happened in the 2000s, it wiped out a third of our manufacturing jobs and 6 million lost. I'm not going to play that.
You're screen sharing.
You don't think I'm screen sharing?
I don't think so. Maybe you are.
And then I'm going to skip this one, but Janet Yellen says that the Social Security is underfunded by $175 million. So, $75 trillion with a T.
Meaning, if your big plan is Social Security, you need another plan.
So in Twitterville, there's this guy named Mike Winger, and people like him. He's got 58,000 followers on Twitter. He's got a big YouTube following, and he goes down the realm that I call the John MacArthur realm. And he says, and this is, I'm going to read it in what I believe his soy boy self is saying. You are called to pay taxes, and you're not responsible for how they're used. You're only responsible for paying them. This is the radical Christian submission we're called to.
No, dear God.
This is where men are at today. And I say, thoughts like these emanate from weak men who do not understand they have handed over the greatest country in the world. Samuel Adams and his Boston Tea Party would not agree. America is a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. The money and the responsibility for how it is spent is on our shoulders. There's a law of nature, nature's God. Radical Christian submission. Radical Christian submission to the devil? Are you insane? They take Romans chapter 13 and beat the sheep with it and say, go get yourselves eaten by a bunch of wolves, you submissive sheep.
Don't be.
These men are spineless. And these are the same guys who advocate for what I call abortion abolition, for putting women who are pregnant who decide to have an abortion behind bars because it's murder. Yes, abortion is murder. But I'm going to read to you. I told Leah I was going to do this. The other Leah, little Leah, 15-year-old Leah, who knows more than these guys.
They also advocate for modern end times theory. Just saying.
So Leah had a dream last night. I'm going to read this to you. It was so good. I had this dream last night that I want to share. Some things don't make perfect sense as a dream. In my dream, there was this woman and she had a horrible experience. She had horrible experiences in hospitals. She was speaking at some sort of event and my mom and I were there. She basically was exposing all these evil things. I'm not really sure what happened, but my mom and her and I ended up in this separate room from anyone else and she just started unloading all of the evil that goes on in the hospitals. She was not saying how much, but showing us how the... second baby, her second baby was born and how they use these things that seem normal to affect the baby. For example, they were using the thermometer, but it had medication on it.
Wow.
Then every time the woman would bring her baby back for checkups after that, there was something wrong with the baby, something new that they needed a medication for, and they kept it secretly from the mom. Mm. In the dream, the woman then began to show us that she fell into depression, and the doctors kept pushing the medications on her. Eventually, she had another baby, and this baby was born with severe medical issues, and the cycle repeated itself. Wow. Once she woke up, she saw this video on her phone about a prayer group who prayed outside an abortion clinic, and 17 women decided not to go on with their abortion. With her dream and then that video, I feel there is a prevalence. Women don't want to abort their babies, but they are manipulated, confused, and under attack of the enemy. Those same women who choose to have their baby then have to have the evils of the healthcare systems.
That's good.
The devil tries to attack children from the moment they are conceived in the womb because he knows children belong to God and God knows us since the womb. We must put an end to this confusion, free the healthcare systems from the chains of the enemy. Hospital bills are thousands upon thousands of dollars, and in reality, a lot of time they give vaccines and medications that cause new sicknesses.
Come on.
Abortion is not the answer, and these women know that, but they feel they have no other way out. Over 60% of women regret their abortion. I'm coming into prayer new ways. Now, I would like to say this because I saw Rand Paul go on a rant about entitlements and how he says that 2/3 of our budget goes to entitlements like Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid, and that it's only 1/2 of 1/3 that they actually argue about, but nobody wants to touch these entitlements. And I want to look, I have literally been talking to Rand Paul, debating him on the Senate floor in my head for 24 hours.
Oh my God.
Okay? And I want to look him in the eye and say, you can't stop paying for Medicare and Medicaid and Social Security until you fix the system. Because the system is set up so that we don't have good doctors. We don't have the ability to have a doctor. I took my mom to the hospital because we had to, but that's a life-threatening situation, and we needed it, and thank God, and the people, they were great. But I'm telling you, the system is set up. I asked several doctors about herbal remedies, and they're just like, vitamins.
Not even herbal remedies, just vitamins. I asked for a
vitamin C drip, and they said, impossible. Nobody's getting vitamin B. Nobody's getting everybody knows you need vitamin D. It's almost as if as soon as you say vitamins, they cringe and the demons come out and scream because they must give you petroleum-based things. They must give you medications that cost, the inhalers cost $500, but they don't cost that much in India, do they? No. I asked for a different inhaler for that. Didn't cost $500 a month. Oh, sure. Let me try this one. Alepto or whatever. $500, like $525. It costs even more. And then there's a really great nebulizer thing that they have. Okay, great. Could I get that in inhaler so that if we have to go somewhere? Sure. It's called Combivent. $500.
So what you meant earlier when you said there's not good doctors, what you meant was,
I didn't say there was not good doctors. Well,
you said something about the doctors. Let me describe what you meant for people that don't know.
It's broken. No, there's a lot of great people.
What Leah meant was, it is little known fact in the United States that they limit, the federal government limits the number of people who can become doctors.
They can go to medical school. They literally limit it.
And why do they do that? Because they know that if the system was flooded, and it really wouldn't even be flooded because it's hard to be a doctor, if the number of doctors rose, the prices of medical care would go down.
And these doctors are held over a barrel by Medicare, by Medicaid, okay? Your best option is to go to a local naturopath or a chiropractor who you're going to be paying out of pocket for, okay? And when I ask them about certain vitamins or nutrients or whatever, they're like, basically, they're like, we can't talk to you about that. We actually found a doctor, a local doctor in Lebanon. He actually had a book of herbs on his desk. Because guess what? Believe it or not, God has natural ways to heal. Did you know that?
Believe it or not, before the petroleum-based medical system happened, not even 100 years ago, all doctoring was done that way.
And so they break us, and then they fix us, and then we get stuck in a system. So to Rand Paul, number one, You need to get rid of the medical field being petroleum-based and backed by Rockefeller, Carnegie, Ford, and the pharmaceutical companies. That has to end. The incestuous relationship between the pharmaceutical companies and medical schools has got to end. If you're going to fund anything, you know what I keep saying? If the way we wean ourselves off of the government teat is for local medical schools to open up for every person who is a qualified person to be able to go to medical school. Every qualified person, anybody who wants to be a family doctor, especially those who care about people who want to be a family doctor.
You know, when we talk about what's going on with Patriot Gallery, when they tell you that emphysema is incurable, do you know where they learned that?
The pharmaceutical companies.
In medical school, funded by pharmaceutical companies that produce all of the things needed to help somebody with lung disease.
Yeah, and they and keep so you they're on going these to tell you it's not curable the rest of your life.
Because they want to make you dependent on their drugs.
Imagine it's millions of people. Millions of people, 500. If you get two inhalers a month, that's $1,000 a month. If you can get a million people to pay you $1,000 a month.
And well, then of course, then you can fund the medical schools and make sure that all of the students think that it's incurable and we can just maintain and this is what we have to do.
When you go to the pulmonologist, what's on the back door?
All of the
50
inhalers.
50 inhalers. Yep, that's it. Not, they're not going to talk to you about MMS. They're not going to talk about pleurisy. They're not going to talk to you about Mullen. They're not going to talk about marshmallow root. They're not going to talk to you about anything else that could possibly heal you. Okay, so to Rand Paul, you can't just pull people off of Medicaid, Medicare, and Social Security until you fix the system so that people can go and visit a doctor for a reasonable amount of money. People have dogs and cats and they take them to the vet. People should be able to pay for a doctor like they go to the vet. It should be simple, it shouldn't be hard, and it shouldn't be expensive, and it didn't used to be. Because guess what? We don't know everything about the human body, and sometimes you need stitches, and sometimes you need a bone set, and sometimes you need a surgery, okay? Sometimes you need a doctor, and it shouldn't cost an arm and a leg. It shouldn't cost thousands of dollars. But they're pushing the vaccines, and they're pushing all these things. And this guy here, Mark Winger, like, let's just roll over, pay him all our taxes, and all the world, blah, 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 blah. All right, farmers, you guys talked about this. I'm going to play a couple of these videos. This is another problem. Rand Paul, okay? You're not, Rand Paul literally does not talk about the real issues that matter. Only Ron Johnson is touching on anything, okay? You are literally, he's embarrassed of his dad. I know he is. I know he is. And he doesn't really talk about issues. All he thinks is libertarian. I saw him on Tucker Carlson talk about how China's not a big deal. And China, we need to be libertarian in our views with China because China's just doing business here. Are you kidding me? China is at war with us. They're this TikTok, all of these things. They have people that are being bought off in universities, in Hollywood. They are at war with us. It's a war that you can't even see because you're so blinded by yourself. You are, Rand Paul, one of the elites. You have never gone hungry a day in your life. You've never had to take somebody to the hospital, and you didn't know how that bill was going to play a day in your life. You're an elite, and you need to, I hope you have a come to Jesus moment. One moment, for one moment in your life, I pray you have nothing. Nothing, and you don't know where your next meal is from. Because that's why the Republicans lose. Because they don't have a heart for people who don't have any money. People are just getting stuck and stomped on every day. In the early 1900s, Rockefeller and Carnegie and J.P. Morgan got together to buy a presidency. And the Democrat was the good Christian guy. He was the one taking on the money. He was the one taking on the corporation. So they hired a Republican. So don't tell me the Republican's the best party to get behind, because right now the Republican is the business party. And now the Democrats are the business party. They're both business parties. And you have a tiny fraction of people who are trying to make headway, and they're using the Republican Party to do it because they can't go through the Democrat Party because they're pro-abortion. And they're completely woke. So you have a small fraction of politicians, and the only way they can make a headway is going through the Republican Party. But it's not the Republican Party is a good party. It's not the party of Lincoln. Stop with that junk. It's a rewriting of history. The past 100 years, you've had a ton of Republican presidents, and they've all stunk. And I'll tell you what, God bless Ronald Reagan, but his wife was a witch, and she didn't love Jesus, and she was a prideful, arrogant person. And Ronald Reagan, I think he had a good heart, but he made a lot of bad decisions. And he opened up our country to a bunch of illegal migrants and gave them a bunch of amnesty, and he passed that vaccine bill. And it's led to the total destruction of millions of households across this country. So no, we haven't had a good Republican president or a good president in a very long time.
Grover Cleveland.
Pre-1900. And now, in Oregon, they're trying to stop farmers from using water because what they're saying is that water is a state resource and you don't have a right to it.
In the state of Oregon, they're going after and shutting down local producers, farmers, and small businesses due to the new definition of this CAFO bill. Now, a CAFO is a confined animal feeding operation that covers everybody that raises livestock. They're making them dig new trenches, new water treatment plants, and concreting all their corrals that animals are being fed on. Now, if they come to your farm or where you're producing your livestock and you're not up to their code, they will shut you down until you get it fixed. The thing about this is it's going to cost hundreds of thousands of dollars to fix everything, and farmers don't make a lot of money. We're not rich, and they know this. So it's an attack on small businesses and local producers to make everything go upstream and upscale back to the big businesses and the big packers. This is something we need to stand up and fight back against. So if you're in the state of Oregon, I am with you. Everybody that's with me, make sure you share this around. Get the information out there.
All right, this next one here. Turns out the government isn't just after raw milk. Farmer says Oregon is going after small farmers selling food to their neighbors. A woman operating a farm for 7 years.
Scott and I did play this clip, but we can play it again. No, okay. Let's play it again.
A woman operating a farm for 7 years gets notice that she can no longer operate without a water right, permitting processes to your own water well. Permitting processes to use your own water well.
There's an injunction on the definition of the law until it can be heard in court, since the League of Justice or whoever they are have filed a court case in January to try and stop it. So currently, small dairy farmers, the way that I first read the article, you would think that they were going after, you know, raw milk. That always seems to be the case with a lot of these things. But this is actually going after anybody, egg producers, anybody who has chickens that go up in a chicken house at night that may have a concrete floor that's easy for cleaning or whatever it is. And you have to go through a permitting process. And a lot of what they're requiring is just simply too much for the small farm.
If you guys watch this, you can play this one because I got another one from another lady in the next one. If you guys watch this one.
Stop what I was doing to share this with you guys, because this is crazy. Right now, the state of Oregon is shutting down small family farms en masse under the guise of water conservation. Oregon lawmakers are rewording their laws to effectively treat small local farms the same as like a large farming operation on a commercial scale. And let me tell you the scariest part, because I've talked about this on my page before. The way they are finding these farms is they are using satellite imagery to pinpoint your farm and send you a cease and desist letter and insisting that you stop all production. Their government has also set up a hotline so that your neighbors can call and rat on you for watering the vegetables and fruit that you're going to go sell at the farmer's market next weekend. Now, I can make a follow-up video going over detail about these laws that they are abusing, as well as the lawsuits that farmers are filing to fight back. But in the meantime, I want you to watch this video. Go to Yanassa TV on the YouTube, his episode from 7 days ago. I'll put it down in the description below. He did a fantastic job of doing a deep dive into this issue. This might be Oregon right now, but I promise you, if they get away with this, other states will adopt these same laws. Stay informed, friends. Know who you're voting into office and know whose best interest they have at heart.
That's such a good point.
So the government is using satellite imagery to pinpoint farms to target. The government has a hotline for your neighbors to report. The Oregon lawmakers are rewarding their laws to effectively treat small local farms the same as large farming operations.
Meaning when he talked about the CAFOs, the confinement animal farming operations, that is supposed to be just for large confinement farming operations. And yet they're now saying that anybody that raises any kind of livestock is put in that same basket. And mm-hmm. that is, it's a falsehood.
Yeah. Yeah.
Blatant.
So this guy has said, you can bring this up if you want. The debt is unsustainable narrative has been around for 40 plus years. What's astonishing to me is how the people who push this narrative never ask themselves, why has it been sustainable for so long? The markets have been wrong for 40 years. Obviously isn't the answer. So then I say, because we prop it up with wars around the world and we kill people. No one else can print fake fiat dollars like the United States. It's blood money. Also, modern-day slavery with sweatshops all around for our everyday needs, GMO crops, pharmaceutical companies pushing drugs, and a lying media.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's been propped up. And, yeah, it's been falling for 40 years. And people have been trying to prop it up. And we literally have wars going on around the world. We kill people to keep it propped up.
Yeah.
Okay? All right. I played some really cool Jordan Peterson clips.
On the Brighteon segment. Yeah. Oh, that was really good.
I want to read this from Carnivore Aurelius. For all of eternity, we raised families. We ate red meat. He meant red meat. And lived in communities with a higher purpose. Over the last 100 years, this has been replaced with promiscuity, green juices, oat milk, dead-end jobs, and atheism. And we wonder why people are suffering. This goes way deeper than seed oils and veganism.
Come on.
We've completely eradicated the foundations of the society that have existed for thousands of years and replaced them with fake garbage. The way forwards is backwards.
Come on.
Reintegrating with our ancestral heritage once again.
That's good.
And I want to play for you a video here, Michelle. It's over a couple spaces. Oh, it's over here to the right. This chick here.
Okay.
This is a single woman who's crying because she's single and she's miserable and she's broke.
We play a lot of these from time to time.
And she wants to know, you can close those out, how the other single ladies, all my single ladies, how are they making it alone if they're living alone? It's in between. It's after, to the right of that one. Keep going.
It's got to be over here.
Okay, yeah, it's probably over there. To the left, there she is.
These videos, when we play them, it's like young people are raised in a different, an alternative universe than what we live in.
Mm-hmm.
This is a very vulnerable video because I just got done having a mental breakdown. But to all of my single gals out there who, like, live on their own, and they get all of their stuff for themselves on their own, I am proud of you because I am one of those people, and it is so hard sometimes. Like, I feel so secure in being single and being on my own, and I really enjoy it, but the hardest factor of it is money. Like, it's so hard to feel so good being single, but wish so badly that you just had, like, a partner to be able to rely on a little bit as well. Like, you guys could both rely on each other when it comes to finances and stuff like that. Like, rent, groceries, just anything. Like, it's honestly so hard sometimes seeing my friends who are pretty much all in long-term relationships and living with their significant others. And meanwhile, I just made a spreadsheet of, like, the things that my money goes towards, because I'm looking for a new apartment, and apartments are so expensive right now, especially just to live alone. Like, why do some places want you to, like, cough up over $2,000 for, like, a 300-square-foot apartment that's like a studio apartment? It's absolutely ridiculous. Like, I should be able to support myself on my income and be able to afford my rent, but I can't because all of you crappy landlords out there want to charge literally an arm and a leg for me to be able to have a roof over my head.
So hang on, little miss. Hi.
This is a very vulnerable
nope, no,
video.
You don't. We don't want to hear from you again. This is the fault of the generation that multiple generations, my grandparents' generation, right? And then the generation that came after them. And she may even be from the generation that came after them, which is mine, because she looks very young. Okay, I might be old enough to be your mom, little Missy. Here's the deal. What happens when you put your parents in a nursing home, and then you get put in a nursing home, and we send our kids to public school to be raised by teachers, or we put our kids in daycare. We don't raise our kids to be godly. You remove all morals from society, and then kids have no emotional attachment to other human beings, mm-hmm. so that they're perfectly fine living by themselves, when that is one of the most unnatural states in the history of humankind. She's a robot. She's missing part of her heart. And the only thing that gets her heart moving is money. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we have a heartless generation. It used to be, you go back to the Waltons, multi-generational homes, families stick together, you pull your funds. I mean, I have no problem telling you guys that in our household, outside of Matt, runs his own finances, and well, Uncle Jack has his own finances too, but Patriot Gallery, Leah and I, our money is all fluid with each other. There's no her money, my money. And I'm going to rant for one more second, unrelated to this, but related to the topic. I hear from married couples all the time, well, this is my money. I have a job on the side so that I can have my own spending money. I'm sure we have people listening out there. Then your marriage has flaws and is broken. I'm just saying
it's not a marriage.
Okay. Yours is mine.
You made vows.
What's mine is yours.
You made wedding vows. Don't get married unless you say, we're now one person. Marriage is literally not a roommate with benefits.
I want my own money. What that means is that you guys are not one in every single area, and you don't agree on things, and you have found that the most peaceful way to establish how money is spent is for you to have separate money. Like, we pull together for these things, but then we got separate spending money because we just can't get along and agree that the other person, so y'all need deliverance, and okay, I'm just saying what I said. All right, but going back to this little child here that is so upset, they're also taught this idea that living in an apartment and paying rent is how you have a roof over your head. It used to be you get an axe and a saw and you fell a tree and you do some Lincoln logs and you put a roof on it, or you dig a dugout and you put a little, you know, and hobbit then, door on it.
But see, and then men.
And then you have shelter.
And then women needed men to do that. But now they have jobs to hire
men. So don't tell me it's your cruddy landlord, because the landlord isn't exactly probably living high on the... Do you know how much money it costs to build and to maintain or purchase apartment units? Okay? Now, yes, investors into apartment units do end up eventually making a lot of money.
Landlords are killing it.
Okay? But no, what I mean is... Landlords aren't making some sort of decision like, we're just going to charge all this money. Because you're thinking of living in Tulsa, Oklahoma, an apartment complex on every corner where there's a workout gym. Landlords can be anything. These can be little apartments above a shop. I don't think that they're just trying to turn, you know, like, it depends on who your landlord is.
The corporate ones are.
Okay. My point is... The idea of throwing your money away and going out on your own. I would love to have a conversation with this little girl. Did your parents kick you out? Mm-hmm. Did they kick you out? No, you made this choice. So don't come crying to me or the world when you made a choice to go to college, get in debt, leave your family, and now you can't afford to live on your own. And she's touting that she loves being single, which means that she has not sought after finding a partner in life, because she said she enjoys being single. Mm. Because you're a broken human being. This is a sad state. That video was heartbreaking. And I don't actually feel sorry for her way she would want me to feel sorry for her. I feel sorry for you that you were raised wrong.
I feel sorry that she went to a public school system.
Yes.
And that taught her to go be independent. And so what I was going to get to, and I'm going to keep saying it, that generation of women, if you interview them, say we don't need men. But they have a job and they pay men. They pay men to pick up their trash. They pay men to build their buildings. They pay men to truck their food in.
Yeah.
Where it used to be that you married a man,
yes,
one man, and he helped provide for you a home and bought you food or produce food, and then you did what he needed to get done. Mm-hmm. Laundry, clean the house, cook food.
Raise his children.
And so marriage was actually a contract, not so much this lovey-dovey Hallmark thing.
Right. So Mary on Facebook says, it's not his money and it's not my money, it's our money. Sherry says, you're so right, Michelle. I was raised to go out, but I'm rethinking that. My goal would be to have a family compound at this point. Amen. She says, I already told my 13-year-old that she can live at home as long as she needs. Families need support of each other. I'm training her to wait on a God-led man when she's an adult. And here's the thing. This is, I take it so much further than even just saying you can stay at home if you want. I think we need to be training our children that that's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
That's because it's safe. It's so unsafe out there to be a single female by yourself.
It's not safe.
And I don't mean like being abducted and raped. I mean just mentally, emotionally. Yeah. It's not a good place. It doesn't turn you into a good human being.
No, it doesn't. Young single women are not healthy, sound-minded people.
Old single women are not sound-minded, healthy.
Yeah. You
I said
family.
What I said.
Would you bring this up for a commercial break?
By and large, they're not.
So
I know some good
here's
ones.
This lady that runs in Alaska.
I've seen this video. It's so good.
You can
this video
out.
Has been out for a while, actually.
I've only seen it once. You never shared it to me.
Oh, I'm sorry. I've
shared it with me. It's to the right.
To the right. To the right.
Yep,
there
that one
it is.
This is what we call commercial break, the cleanse your mind.
An Alaska lady opened a dog daycare center and drove a school bus to pick up the dogs for school every day.
And they all have their own seat and they get buckled in. And they all know their seat.
I love the song, but we're still on Facebook, so I'm going to turn it down just because I don't want to get copyright flagged here on this one. This is so much fun. Oh, my gosh. Each dog remembered its seat. It's literally... And you know what I love about this is how well-trained these dogs are. Okay, I mean, they're good little dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just get clipped in. It's so cute. The doggy school bus was already full. Oh, look at the two... It's adorable. Oh, my gosh.
I love that.
This is the funnest thing. Mm. Part two is coming. Oh, it's adorable.
So play the video to the right. This is Robert Kennedy Jr. talking about reversing 80 years of farm policy.
Ending the corporate control over our food supply and over, you know...
I have the volume maxed out, guys. I don't know why that video is so low.
I'm going to reverse 80 years of farm policy in this country, which have directed us toward... industrial agriculture.
This
industrial
is a roadcaster issue, Scott.
Factory farming, chemical-based agriculture, carbon-based fertilizers, all of these things that are destroying the soils in our country. It's poisoning the food. The food that they produce is not even food anymore. It's commodities. And most of it's going to processed food companies that are using 1,000 ingredients that are all banned in Europe. And we have a chronic disease epidemic in this country that is being fed by processed food. I have a lot of plans for
speak if you meet me. Okay.
Control.
I wish he would mean that, and I wish he would do that. I wish he would go after the food companies. And I made a Facebook post. I put that out there. I said this is like one of the top two issues for me. And if he was really to do it, I would put my whole weight behind him. I just don't think anybody can do it. I don't think you can go against it. I have this video here. Talking about how cheese, just cheese, is not done right. It's not done the way it used to be made. If you guys have ever made cheese, raise your hand in the chat if you've ever made cheese.
90% of U.S. cheese has now been infiltrated by one of the world's largest biopharmaceutical companies, Pfizer, and it has GMOs. Traditionally, cheese is made with just four ingredients: milk, salt, starter culture, and animal rennet, which is a clotting agent that's used to curdle milk into cheese. Today, there are four different kinds of rennet used in the cheese industry, and reports are stating that the most commonly used kind is a genetically modified version called FPC, or fermentation-produced chymosin, made by Pfizer. These alternative rennets are both cheaper to use and speed up the aging process, which, like always, means greater profits. The crazy part is, no one knows that they're eating this or how it's really affecting us. Because this FPC rennet is labeled as grass, or generally recognized as safe, it creates a loophole that exempts Pfizer or other companies from having to label these products as GMO. And due to Pfizer's massive amount of wealth and power, it's now made its way into about 90% of our cheese. But how is this affecting us? Because this is newer technology, we don't yet know for sure, but there has been a number of researchers addressing concern. After all, the only unbiased safety study used to approve these FPCs was evaluated by this short-term 90-day trial in rats. However,
However, researchers are concerned about its toxicity, or the biotoxins from GMOs, as well as digestive issues for humans, as these rennet alternatives can serve as an allergen. While I'd love to present you with a list of cheeses to avoid, as well as the ones that are safe, there's just way too many cheeses out there. So if you can, look for the kind of rennet or enzyme used in the cheese. I would seek out animal or traditional rennets first, then potentially some vegetable rennets, and I'd avoid cheeses containing any microbial or genetically modified rennets altogether.
Wow. Now you see why you gotta go ruin everything, Leah.
I know.
Now we actually we make a lot of our soft cheese, not all of it, but you have us get cheese from our Amish a lot.
They make regular cheese
from- and then you like to peruse the fancy cheese section.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering, but he said 90% of our cheese, so what does that mean?
I don't know. All right, so for the last story of the day, would you, I'm going to say goodbye to Facebook because I got to bring up Steve Bannon. I think he's banned on Facebook.
Okay. All right. Facebook, here's what I want you to do. I want you to join us on Rumble. But before we go to Rumble, for our last story of the day, I want you to, boom, ready. I want you to join us. Oh, isn't that nice? Let me turn that down. I want you to join us this coming, not this coming, next week. April 7th and 8th for, and it, we added the 7th because we're going to be doing a prayer kind of gathering at the church at around 5 p.m. That's, I don't have that updated flyer or it would be showing here on the screen. And then all day on Monday, April 8th for the total solar eclipse. I cannot encourage you guys to come any more than I already have. So please go to bardsfest.com and register and come and just join us. This event is going to be one of those events where you leave and you go, I can't imagine having experienced the total solar eclipse not here. Now, if you can't make it, that's fine. It will be live streamed. Okay. It's going to be live streamed to our channel, Scott's channel, Harvest Revival Center's channel. But I really hope that you can drive somewhere within driving, if you're within driving distance, to see the total solar eclipse. Now, there was a little bit of confusion the other day, and I mentioned this, and I want to clarify something. When I was saying if you are at 99% totality, it's not enough. It's actually not totality. And what I'm, I said you will not be able to be a part of the miraculous event that God is doing. It was a little bit of a word salad. It was clear, but could be misinterpreted too. If you don't show up to our event, you're not going to experience God. That's not true. This is a nationwide thing that is going to transform everyone. I'm telling you, I keep using the visual of an hourglass being inverted, right? I think everything is going to change. I don't know that it's going to change right there in that moment, although it might, but I think it's going to be more of a slow thing. And Leah got a prophetic word about that too. The coals that just continue to burn. And Scott and I talked about that on the Gospel of Peace last Saturday. What I mean is, from a scientific standpoint, to just watch the moon eclipse the sun, if you do not live in the path of what is called totality, then you scientifically, God aside, do not experience the miraculous, amazing event that God created when he created total solar eclipses, where the temperature drops by 20 degrees, the birds stop chirping, the insects stop making noises, and everything completely stands still for the duration. Our duration is going to last for 3 minutes and 24 seconds of this phenomenal celestial event. It's not just a celestial event. It, like, everything, and then everybody starts to cheer, and it just, I can't explain it. It's so amazing that people start chasing these things around the world, okay? All I meant was, if you just, at 99% doesn't, that event will not happen to you. You'll just see the moon kind of cover almost all of the sun, but the temperature doesn't drop, the big thing doesn't happen, and you're just like, oh, that was kind of neat. And that will be, and you'll be like, I don't know what everybody made a big deal about this thing for. It was cool, but it, like, I didn't feel anything, didn't seem like a big deal. Well, this is why, because you weren't there, okay? And that's happened before, actually. I remember in 2017, we were trying to convince our friend Christopher's dad to let him come down with us and take off of work. And his dad's like, nah, it's not that big of a deal. And we're like, you don't understand, it's a huge deal. And he didn't let his son take off work. It was really actually depressing. Because most people are like, no, I've seen an eclipse. It's not that big of a deal. If you've never been in the path of totality, then you've not experienced an eclipse. And so I would like to encourage you, if you can, and if you can't, I am still going to pray that God bless you and give you an amazing spiritual experience. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to take something away from people that are just like, I wish I could go and I can't go. Okay. I'm not talking to you. I'm praying for you. Mm. But the people are like, I'm talking to the people like, I don't think it's that big of a deal. No, it really, really is. That's it. That's my spiel.
All right. So goodbye, Facebook. And go ahead and bring up this Bannon clip. Is it? Do you have it up?
No. Oh, that was funny. We're not going to play that. Okay.
I don't know.
Hang on.
I just need you to go over.
Oh, wait. You need me to go
to... I told you had to bring this up.
Oh, okay.
You can just go to Rumble and then go to Bannon and bring it up.
Okay. Well, they'll just come with us.
So this is how Bannon's warrant. Just put in Bannon. And then scroll to
the war room.
Mm-hmm. And scroll down to episode 3498. So what we're going to talk about is the elites that
Where's
had
their
this,
episode numbers.
You'll see it. It's if it's right around.
I
there.
Don't see any episode number.
3498, right there.
97.
No, 3498. Yeah. So, Joe Biden, Barack Obama, and Clinton got together on the weekend of Easter, and held this giant fundraiser, millions of dollars, while Trump is actually visiting the memorial of a slain police officer, showing the New York City policies are failing. Could you play this, please?
At what time?
The City Music Hall last night. The Biden campaign says it raised more than $26 million at the event.
Wow.
About 5,000 people attended. It was hosted by actor and comedian Mindy Kaling. Special guests Queen Latifah, Lizzo, Ben Platt all performed. The highlight of the fundraiser, though, a conversation between President Biden and former presidents Barack Obama and Bill Clinton. Discussion was moderated by late night host Stephen Colbert. The presidents talk about a wide range of issues, including the war in Gaza and the need to protect our democracy. They also took some jabs at former president and presumptive Republican nominee Donald Trump.
Did I miss the genocide that Trump committed outside of the vaccine?
I mean, this is the genocide they're talking about Israel.
Yeah, but they're saying genocide Trump. Did the war in Israel start happening?
Are they saying Trump?
Oh, genocide Joe. Oh, okay. All right. Well, then that makes
this
more
is
sense.
Outside of the big.
Well, I thought you said. I thought they said they took a jab at Trump.
No.
Okay, I missed that. I'm sorry. Did they just raise them up from down below?
$500,000 for some of these tickets.
What?
$500,000 for some of these tickets.
Hang on, no. Wait a minute. Who's getting this? This is a fundraiser.
For Joe Biden, for his presidency.
$500,000.
For some of the tickets, yeah.
That's not a ticket. That's like money laundering.
It sure is.
It's money laundering. It's pay for play. This is Hunter Biden's
Donald Trump, as far as
art.
We can tell, has just been trying to win a third championship at his own golf course. My question to you, sir, can voters trust a presidential candidate who has not won a single Trump International Golf Club trophy? At long last, sir, have you no chip shot?
Well, look, I'd be happy to play. I told him this before when he came into the Oval when he was being, before he got sworn in. I said, I'll give you three strokes if you carry your own bag.
It was electric in that room. There were more than 5,000 people in Radio City Music Hall. So a lot of bodies, a lot of energy, a lot of excitement, especially to see, I think, the former presidents and, of course, President Biden. They came onto stage.
I have to pause by that. There was a lot of buzz to see the former presidents and, of course, Joe Biden
being sort of lifted up with one of those platforms that comes up. So it was a very rock star moment.
Yawn.
And it was a rock star night for the Democrats and for President Biden. They had a
you mean it was a night of money laundering and pay for play.
Everything from peace in the Middle East to the economy. And the former president's really laid out a case for Biden. We've been hearing Biden lay out his own case, but last night what he did was he sort of sat aside and let his predecessors talk about what it's like to be president and why he should get a second term.
You got a heckler? Did they pay $500,000 to get in? So what are they saying here? Do we need, or we keep playing?
But that very exclusive club lacks one notable living former president, because no matter what, you are not welcome in the president's club if you've tried to overthrow the government. So naturally, Donald Trump lives in a sort of exile from this exclusive group. Tonight's epic fundraiser reunites the dynamic duo of Barack and Joe, a big effing deal, to use a Bidenism, for a powerful celebration of democracy.
And thanking President Clinton, President Obama, and President Biden.
Dark Brandon is real.
Did he just say Dark Brandon is real? So, what did they juice him up with? What do you think they're giving him? Oh, this is upsetting. So for our podcast listeners, I'm going to turn these down a little bit. You're watching these Palestinian protesters really attacking the police. At one point, there was a guy that tries to make his way through, and they just start attacking him.
Guys, former President Donald Trump also in New York yesterday to attend the wake of
Chris
an
says it's
NYPD
Adderall that they're giving Joe. Do you think Adderall's enough?
In the line of duty. Trump met with the family of Officer Jonathan Diller yesterday during the memorial service on Long Island, where hundreds of law enforcement officers were on hand to pay their respects. Officer Diller.
So we're switching stories here, and this is good because on the one hand, you see the Joe Biden, Barack Obama, mm-hmm. and Bill Clinton all rubbing shoulders together with these Hollywood elites, right? And these money laundering donors, mm-hmm. right? And then, but you see Donald Trump, who's going to go honor this fallen officer.
Killed on Monday while approaching an illegally parked car in Queens. Police say the suspect in the shooting has nearly two dozen previous arrests. After meeting with Officer Diller's family, who invited Trump to the service, Trump spoke to reporters outside, describing the officer's death as a horrible thing and calling for a return to law and order.
They're not given the respect. The police are the greatest people we have. There's nothing and there's nobody like them, and this should never happen. I just visited with a very beautiful wife that now doesn't have her husband. Stephanie was just incredible. Their child, brand new. Beautiful.
His arm's getting tired holding that umbrella.
Sitting there, innocent as can be.
It's not easy holding an umbrella.
It doesn't
it's
know
not.
How.
And it hurts your arm.
His life has been changed. But the Diller family will, you'll never be the same. You can never be the same. And we have to stop it. We have to stop it. We have to get back to law and order. We have to do a lot of things differently because this is not working. This is happening too often.
All right.
Yeah. So Donald Trump went to the this
memorial service
for the slain NYPD officer who was just doing a regular routine checkup on an abandoned car.
Mm-hmm.
And he was killed. New York is out of control.
Yep.
It's unsafe. And Joe Biden doesn't care. The mayor of New York doesn't care. The mayors of none of the mayors of any of these cities care. And it's become such a point of contention where they're giving millions of dollars to these migrants.
Mm-hmm.
The Breitbart article says migrants apprehended at northern border sector exceed the last 12 years combined.
Oh my gosh.
I'm not saying that I don't know who if the who, I'm not sure who killed this police officer, but I do know that the migrant crime is making it significantly worse in a lot of these cities. And Trump, I honestly don't know how he keeps going. Mm-hmm. Like, I get through the day and I'm like, I'm tired, but this man will jump on his airplane. He obviously has zero jet lag and will go from place to place to place. He'll go to the funeral in the rain.
He's lost a lot of weight too.
Yeah, he's doing carnivore, I think.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, Trump has said that the presidents won't allow, well, he says Biden base won't let him support the police. The Biden base won't let them support the police. You've got these Palestinian protesters going amok. There was a Jewish man who tried to get into a medical.
That's what I was referring to earlier.
To visit his mom. They wouldn't let him in.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I mean, I've got another video I'm not going to play with for you, but there's a man in about 65 or 70 years old, a white security guard outside of McDonald's. These thugs beat him up. And nobody says anything until the security guard pulls a gun. And then they start screaming at the security guard. They're afraid he's going to shoot them. And he has every right to shoot them because they were beating him up.
Wow.
And you have a right. If somebody's going to come and beat you up.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a right to defend yourself.
Well, but you don't, though, in a sense. Like, yes, you 100% do. Don't mm-hmm. get me wrong. But we have seen what these officers mm-hmm. and security guards go through.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, and you know what we found out years ago? Who was it that was, it was Justin's mom, Regina. She was an aide at school mm-hmm. and like a teacher's aide. And she would also help with kids on the bus and stuff like that, mm-hmm. right? And when these kids start to attack you,
mm-hmm.
you have to let them mm-hmm. or else it's assault yeah. on the child because you are the adult.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of turned into that with the violence against police officers. Mm-hmm. It's like you just have to let them kill you mm-hmm. or hurt you or harm you or you'll go to jail.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. So the cranes are arriving to start moving the wreckage from the deadly Baltimore Bridge collapse. Cranes are arriving to remove the wreckage.
Mm.
The crane can lift up to 1,000 tons, described as the largest of the eastern seaboard, have been expected to arrive late Thursday, and a second that can lift 400 tons should arrive Saturday. Divers recovered two bodies, but they haven't recovered the other bodies of the other men, the other six men.
That there's river is huge. I can't imagine being able... It's a phenomenal that they found two bodies.
There's zero visibility.
Right? I mean... And they may show up mm-hmm. floating down the river at some point, or they may just get eaten by the fish.
Scott Cohen, president of the International Longshoremen's Association, said that the union was scrambling to help its roughly 2,400 members whose jobs are at risk. If there's no ships, there's no work. The huge vessel was carrying 4,700 shipping containers, 56 of them with hazardous materials inside. 14 were destroyed.
Mm.
Industrial hygienists who evaluated the contents identified them as perfumes as soap and soaps. Hmm. So there you have it. It's going to be years. We don't know what this is going to look like. They don't even know how much it's going to cost.
Yeah. I can't. Leah and Matt did a pretty good assessment. A fair assessment of kind of covering multiple angles about the crash in the Baltimore River.
Mm-hmm.
The Francis Scott Key Bridge.
The channel,
whatever. I am still landing on...
Sabotage.
Yeah. Because when you watch the footage, and we didn't do this on a main, you know, news show, but you can go back and watch Wednesday's show. When you watch the footage of the barge, mm-hmm. when you call it a ship, whatever. When you watch the footage of the barge, it looks like it's gonna miss, and then it course corrects to hit.
Mm-hmm.
It, you know, it kind of reminds me of like when you're driving a car. Oh, I've never done this before. I've seen it in movies. You're driving in a car, and then you got to like pull the brake, and then the back end swerves. You know, because you know what I'm saying. Like, it just looks mm-hmm. nefarious. And if you were setting out to hamstring the United States economics or to maybe fire off a black swan event, this would be a great way to do it.
Yeah.
We have yet to see the ramifications of what this, what is going to happen as a result of this economically. So I'm kind of still standing on sabotage. Okay. So, I know that you guys have already bought pretty much all of the MyPillow products that you can in for a long time. I get it. Okay. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong. I get it. However, I got an email this week. They are doing this crazy $25 extravaganza right now on MyPillow.com. Mm-hmm. Okay. I don't think I've ever seen some of this stuff go this low. So come on, screen share. There we go. So here's the $25 extravaganza. So right now you can get, couch and recliner pillows for $25. You can get the 6-piece MyPillow towel set for $25. You can get a 4-pack of dish towel sets for $25.
What?
You can get the slide sandals for $25. Two multi-use MyPillows,
the smaller $25. Ones with all the colors on them. Those ones.
The small
loves.
Dog bed, $25.
What?
Beach towels, $25. Giza Premium MyPillow, never gone best. This low before ever, $25. A bolster pillow and pillowcase, $25.
Whoa.
Okay. So it's this huge $25 extravaganza.
Whoa. Well, tell them what we just bought.
So we bought the dish towels.
I'm very excited. We actually bought the 6-pack. So I'm very excited to see how these turn out. We bought the dish towels and the dish cloths.
Oh, that's awesome.
But the 6-piece towels are only $25?
No, 4-piece towel, $25.
Okay.
Okay. So I'm just saying that if you do have some stuff and if these things have been on your
6-piece towel set, $25.
Four. Oh, the 6-piece MyPillow towel set, which is this.
You can
get
four dish towels for the same price as 6 towels.
Right. Okay. So I'm just saying, use promo code RC at checkout and get you the $25 extravaganza. I couldn't believe it when this email came in. So head over to MyPillow.com. You can also go to MyPillow.com/RC, and that will take you there as well. So I just wanted to let you give you a little heads up. I don't know how long this is going to go. They didn't tell us. I think it has something to do with Easter. But since I don't know when it ends, I can't help you there. So you might want to go as soon as you can. Because
I've got a last
end.
Funny clip if you go to my profile on
Twitter.
Yeah. A guy's take on conspiracy theories.
Oh, this one. Okay. Is this like a commercial break?
It's in the show. Yeah.
Okay.
How do you not believe in any conspiracy theories? I understand not all of them. Not most of them, but you don't believe in any conspiracy theory? You just think the government's just batting 1,000 and telling us the whole truth? That's a strong stance to take. And again, as I said before, I don't like talking about politics on stage or off stage. I don't like talking about things I don't feel like I'm truly knowledgeable in. But I do know this. Our government is placed in charge of all of its people. I'm a father who's been placed in charge of just one son. And I lie to that all the time.
Well. There you have it.
There you have it. They are lying to us.
Oh my gosh. Oh, this is so good. Sundy, thank you. And now, I wasn't going to do all of our ads today, but guess what? We're going to do them because I'm so glad that you said this. She says, I got the Mega Antioxidant Face Mask, the face and the face serum from Organic Body Essentials, and I love it.
Mm.
I'm telling you what. I don't know that this is part of promoting the product, but I do have to tell you guys something. Patriot Gallery accidentally spilled some of the Elite Elixir, not Elite Elixir, the CBD oil. It's called something else, like the tincture. Oh, for crying out loud, what is it called?
The terpenes, extreme terpenes.
And she cried. That's how precious it is at our house, mm-hmm. right? And that's, I'm just saying, that's how valued it is mm-hmm. because that's how much it works, mm-hmm. right? If you have aches or pains or a whole host of other mm-hmm. things, you can take it internally. You can put it on your body topically. The extreme CBD tinctures mm-hmm. are, terpenes are amazing. Mm-hmm. And they make them for your pets.
Yeah.
Okay. Likewise, I am going to tell Aunt Leah. And then I'm going to tell it myself, even though I think I handled it pretty good. Leah, speaking of the face serum that Sunday just mentioned, has now spilt the Flawless Face Serum, which is not cheap, and I never told you it was, but it's worth it. Not once, but twice, she has spilt the Flawless Face Serum. It's as if she's sucking the youth from my face and pouring it down the drain. Okay? I was upset. I was a little upset. I think I handled it pretty good, but inside I was crying. Okay. And then I had to be like, you know what, Michelle, it's just money. Just order another one. So I did. Okay. So I was okay. But my point is, that's how valued this stuff. It works. Mm-hmm. Ain't nobody going to cry over something they don't like. Ain't nobody going to get internally upset over something that doesn't work amazingly. This is it right here. Oopsie. That's how I got spilled. This is empty, though, and it's got its cap on it. It just jumps out your hand. So that's why I told Leah, I'm going to get her a little cup with, like, sand in it and set this in there so that it's a little bit easier to hold than this is kind of hard to hold. But the Flawless Face Serum, it's like the final drop is like, you're like, oh, no. Okay. Organicbodyessentials.com. Use promo code RC at organicbodyessentials.com.
Here's one last fun one. In Chicago, you've got constituents saying, go red, no more blue, no matter who.
Is it a Shriner hat in there? It takes all kinds.
Go red, go red. No more blue, no matter who. Go red, go red, go red. No more blue, no matter who.
That's hilarious. Go red, that is hilarious.
No more blue, no matter who. Go red, go red.
No more blue, no matter who. Little Republican.
Okay.
Elephant. That's hilarious, Leah. Oh, my gosh. Okay, well, that's the show. Leah, you did a great job. Good show putting it together. It's nice to be back. Thank you guys for all your prayers for Patriot Gallery. They have meant more to us than we can possibly say and been effective and continue to pray.
The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much, so your prayers are a yeah. big deal. And I will read to you this last thing that I posted today because it is Good Friday.
Oh, it's Good Friday.
Yeah, so you haven't read my post yet. Okay.
I'll no, I did. Just it, you know, yeah. all my hippocampus ran out.
I understand.
Of room,
a lot of stuff
is
on.
What happened.
Mm-hmm.
It did. But how can you forget? It's the day of Good Friday.
Today, Christians around the world meditate on the crucifixion of our Savior. All week, I've been thinking about Jesus in the garden, praying, sweating blood, desperately talking to the Father. He pleads with the 11 to pray with him, to stay up with him, because something so excruciatingly painful and world changing is about to happen. Could you not pray with me one more hour? He knows he will be completely alone. He knows they will abandon him. Mm. He knows one of his closest friends, Peter, is about to betray him three times and lose all hope. Yet, he also knows what will happen on the other side, but he must go through it. What was it like? We will never know. We will never know what it's like to have the Father turn his head and take upon ourselves the sins of the world.
You want me to read it?
I don't know. A frog stuck my throat. It was punishment for them all. Jesus took the punishment. What was that like? It was all the pain and suffering that all humans would ever suffer at one moment, all of it. I have been up all night, last night I was, up in deep intercessory prayer. I even texted my friends, like, anybody praying with me? I have been in prayer for many of you this week. When you can't sleep and you are a believer, you are probably having a Samuel moment.
Come on.
Samuel was sent as a child to live in the temple. He couldn't sleep, and he went to the priest, and the priest finally said, God is talking to you, son. Paul said he would often have, quote, waking.
God was speaking to him. He was hearing things.
Yeah, he was hearing things from God. Right. Having wakings, times when he couldn't sleep because the burden to pray would come on him. Don't be annoyed when you can't sleep because you are called upon to battle and contend. God will take care of you physically. If he is asking you to pray through a garden moment, pray. Meet him there. While none of us will ever have that garden moment like he did, we will all have garden moments when very heavy things need to be lifted through the night or even day. If you have a prayer warrior friend who asks you to join in prayer over some things, and they are usually the one that people go to for prayer, pray with them immediately. They are lifting something heavy like Jesus in the garden, like Paul on his missionary journeys. Both Jesus and Paul asked their friends to pray with them. Paul appreciated prayers of fellow believers more than anything else.
Come on.
He knew that what he was doing required others to join him in the Spirit and talk to the Father with him. Prayer is so simple yet so effective. Prayer is more than just asking. It's communing with God. It's having a conversation with him where he talks back. All your prayers should include you listening and hearing from God more than you talk to him. Oh, my friends, have you been taught to hear him? That is what Paul wanted. That is what Jesus wanted. That is what Samuel was called upon to do. Listen to God and do what he tells you. Hear from heaven and declare it on earth. Happy Good Friday. Sunday is coming when we celebrate the resurrection. It's important to remember each stage and to take time to meditate on each moment of his death, burial, and triumph over death.
Amen. That's so good.
So let's end in prayer.
Dearly Father, first and foremost, we want to lift up Sherry, who's requesting prayer because she's going back and forth with the mayor of her city, trying to get him to acknowledge the natural family from Mother's Day to Father's Day. Lord God, I just pray that you soften this man's heart and that you show him the importance of this. That and God, I don't care if he just finds this might be advantageous to him in some way, but at least he will do it and it will cause other people to acknowledge the natural family. And so, Lord God, I just pray that you soften his heart and he open up to the actual leading of people that are leaders in their community, as Sherry is, as a dentist in her community. So I thank you, Father God, that she is taking this step of faith to step out where others would not because they're afraid of what it would look like or, you know, it takes too much trouble or whatever. And you reward this step of faith that she has taken in Jesus' name. We just bind and gag Satan from trying to attack it and get in the way. We just say straight and smooth sailing forward that this will be accomplished. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Father God, we just lived with the solar eclipse. I pray that everybody who's supposed to be there will be there. I pray that it'll go smoothly. I pray that families will be able to come and that travel will be safe. I pray that you keep everybody safe on the way there and on the way home. I bind and gag Satan from attacking. I just pray that everybody has a solar experience that is what you would have for them, whether it's people who can come or can't come. I just pray, Father God, that the speakers will be anointed, that healings will manifest, that people will walk in their giftings and their callings. I just pray, Father God, over everybody listening and watching. I pray that you prepare their hearts. I thank you, Father God, that you're healing. I thank you, Father God, for your forgiveness. I thank you, Father God, for healing families and nations. I thank you, Father God, that you're giving everybody who's listening the ability to hear you tonight, hear you as they're dreaming, hear you as they're sleeping, hear you as they wake up. I just bind and gag the spirit of fear.
Yes.
I thank you, Father God, you're moving everything out of our lives that's not of you. And I just pray for everybody who's watching that you give them peace and endurance and joy, that you bless them. Please bless everybody who's prayed for my mom and prayed for our family.
Yes, Lord, just pour in the name of Jesus.
Upon them and just continue to bless them because I know that prayers are worth $1 million. I just ask you, Father God, that you continue to provide for all of us according to your riches and glory through Christ Jesus. I thank you, Father God, for the giving and receiving. I thank you, Father God, for the anointing that is flowing. I thank you, Father God, that you're turning this nation upside down. I lift up our leaders. I pray that you raise up righteous leaders who will govern correctly.
And tear down the corrupt ones.
Tear down the corrupt ones. I ask you, Father God, that that the enemy will not be able to speak to us. Our friend Kelly asked for prayer for her daughter and is binding against Satan from attacking her and bringing healing to her body.
Yes, in the name of Jesus.
And I thank you, Father God, for everybody that needs healing, that you're surrounding them with your presence and your power. And I just lift up my mom. I thank you that you're healing her up. I thank you that her lungs are filled with oxygen and just back to complete normal and normalcy. And she's so healthy. And I thank you, Father God, that there's health in your word, that we have healing, and you have these wonderful trees that we get to eat from, Father God, which are the fruit of the which fruit yields its fruit every month, and that we can eat from it, and the leaves are for the healing of the nations, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name, amen.
Speaking of Patriot Gallery, though, she did a blog this week.
It was very good. Go check it out.
Honesty series, God was in the furnace of affliction, death. And
it's kind of her testimony of what she went through. It's very raw. It's very real. So go check that out, guys.
Yes,
please.
It's really, really good. I want to encourage you guys to watch it and share it with people that maybe going through something themselves. Mm-hmm. Last but not least, and I know I said this very briefly, but don't forget to join us at Old School Survival Boot Camp this May 17th through the 19th. They've got a magazine that they put out that you guys can check out as well. Just go to oldschoolsurvivalbootcamp.com, and I'm going to be sharing this month's magazine out very shortly. It has in it all of the instructors and their classes, and everybody has a video but Leah and Michelle, because Leah and Michelle didn't have time to do a video, but we will eventually. But oldschoolsurvivalbootcamp.com, promo code RCHICKS. And Barry, I am seeing in the chat that you're trying to get, we don't have time because we have some dogs that we need to go let out, but I am going to grab your video. I think it's on the solar farm, which is what you wanted us to watch. Is cloud computing bad for the environment? The internet's carbon footprint. Trying to get that, get us to play that video. We don't have time right now, but I will put it in the description, and I will put it on tonight's website for tonight's show. So there you are. There it is. I will update that. But guys, remember, it's not just a conspiracy theory if it's actually the truth. And you know what? We can try to play it on Sunday. Leah, are we even doing a show on Sunday?
I have a show kind of together, but I'm not sure, guys, because we are very, very
Can we
busy.
Move the time? Would that be helpful?
I don't know, because it's just all day. We're just slammed. We're absolutely slammed. We are so slammed. We made two on Monday.
It's Easter.
We'll see. I know.
And just check back.
We'll see.
On social media.
We'll see. I don't know.
Here's the deal. It wouldn't be, I don't think it would be possible at our regular time.
It's not possible at our regular time, no.
Okay. So if it's not our regular time, then you would be looking at a window of between 4 and 5-ish if we did do one.
Ooh, all those times are just so packed.
Like 5 o'clock.
It would be after 6. It would be between 6 and 8. But I don't know
so
if we have
did
time.
Like an Easter show. But yeah. It would be a world news show if you did do it.
Yeah.
We'll see.
I have it. And we might just pop it over and do it on Monday. So look for a Monday.
Sherry's like,
show.
That's what I was wondering. No show Sunday.
I think I can do it on Monday.
So you just want to move the whole world news show to Monday?
Yeah.
Okay. At same time? 2 p.m.?
I don't know. I think we're busy. I think I have the chiropractor then.
Oh, boy. So we have no way of telling. You know what? We'll post on social media.
Please follow us on Facebook.
Okay, Facebook is where we post everything, but also Patriot Gallery shares a lot of it on Gab. So
I don't know how you
and
guys,
Telegram.
You guys find us even beyond the regular shows.
You do.
You do a really good job. Yep. Thank you.
She says, I'm busy at the regular time too. Just take the day off. So Sherry's like, if I can't be there, nobody can be there. That's awesome. Sherry, you're amazing. Okay. All right. We love you. God loves you. God bless. Remember, it's not just a kid. Oh, I said that already. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
Happy Resurrection
Happy
Sunday.
Happy Resurrection Sunday.
There's a lot going on, and God is moving, and God is bigger than the boogeyman. He's bigger than Godzilla and the monsters on TV. God is bigger, and he's watching out for you and me. That's a little VeggieTales for you. But he is bigger than the boogeyman and all this stuff that's going on and the monsters on TV. And he is watching out for you and me. And I want you guys to be encouraged, because we are on the cusp of something amazing where the church is rising and tyranny is falling. And you get to be a part of that. And I'm really proud to be in this fight with you guys.
Yeah, I've got a blog. I have a thing that's going over in my head that I've been wanting to do. And I've really been wanting to do it on, there's two kinds of Christians. There's the Christians that are the modern American Christians.
Mm-hmm.
And what they do is they go about their life and they believe God to bless what they do.
Yep.
But God is showing me the other kind of Christianity that's actually the kind in the New Testament.
Uh-oh.
And it has a lot to do with self-sacrifice, has a lot to do with storing up treasures in heaven.
Love it.
Has a lot to do with not getting what you want on this planet.
Can't always get
and serving and it's an, a radical servanthood and a radical love and a radical submission to the, to
sounds like
plan.
A Revelation Red Pill Wednesday.
Yeah,
could be.
We'll see.
Maybe. All right. Okay, we will for sure see you on Wednesday. Okay, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Revelation Red Pill Wednesday. All right, we love you guys. We'll see you next time, and have a wonderful and blessed Resurrection Sunday and Easter weekend. Bye, guys.